Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I'm at it.
For now, anyway.
Heck, twice. I want some butt.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
You know, it got so bad on Sunday while I was doing curse words that I had to tell everyone that was sending in comments, if you think the game is over, kindly please leave. That's how bad it got.
Did you leave?
Those that stuck with me were rewarded with one of the best Patriots wins in recent memory. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Paul, and Andy are here. Eric, as usual, is...
That was Shakespearean.
You like that?
Yeah.
He's back.
Fred's back. Well, that's why I asked if he stayed, because he didn't think they were going to win. He said so.
Andy's off. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket hotline is 508-543-7482. And I got to give Andy props.
I think he meant Eric's off, Andy.
I say Andy's off? Andy's off his rocker, but he's not off the show. I have to give Andy props because he said, while we said that the offense would be fine, and that's what was giving us hope, he looked at the defense and said what's giving him hope is that he thinks it's going to get better, that it's going to be improving every week, and he was right. So, but I think we're both right. I think the offense was fine in the end, and I think you're right. So
Andy, put it together.
Dallas, here we go, baby!
If we're gonna go off 1 week, Andy was a lot more right than I was, because the offense was far from fine on Sunday. The defense was absolutely outstanding when it needed to be,
right?
And won the football game.
Well, yeah,
but you know, I'd like to judge it on a little bit more than a game.
I'm okay with judging it, right?
But I have been as critical of that defense as anybody, and you got to tip your hat to them. They were outstanding.
You know, like what you just said, Jermaine Cunningham, best game of his career. Brandon Spikes, best game of his career. That's what you want to see. You want to see them improving, and we are. You know, Belichick said it yesterday on Patriots Monday. Look, basically, you know, Cunningham had no preseason. You know, this is now his preseason, you know, plus a game. And so, you know, we're seeing the evolution of this guy, and I think he has made steps in the right direction. He hasn't just, you know, been out there. Spikes, I thought, you know, I said earlier, he looked like a dog chasing cars. I think yesterday was the first game where, he caught a couple cars and got there before the car was, you know, 10 miles down the street.
I love when we take those
two. You know?
I thought they went to the convenience store and got some milk.
Right.
Well, that would be a Mayo tackle.
Yeah.
The most impressive thing to me with Cunningham and Ninkovich, to me, was the running game. I think we think, not to steal the Peter King line, that Jermaine Cunningham is going to be able to provide occasional pass rush pressure. Like Fred said, we haven't seen him yet. I mean, he's just really getting started, you know, after missing the whole preseason. But I think... Yeah, but I think that's what they drafted him for. is to provide some pressure off the edge, and we saw a little of that on Sunday. I don't think we were expecting to see. Were you expecting to see, you know, him holding up the way he did on Sunday? And Rob Ninkovich, too. I thought both of those guys were excellent at setting the edge. There were no cutback lanes.
I'm more surprised by Ninkovich because I think Cunningham has the size to do that. Ninkovich, I was never really sure that he had the tools to do anything at a starting level. I'm starting to think maybe he does. And Cunningham, I give him credit for almost the mental, because that cutback for Ray Rice, I think sometimes as a young player, your overzealousness to get to the ball and you get caught out of position.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily get there, but he gets his hand out and knocks the ball away. It looks almost so easy sometimes when certain guys do it. I thought that was a great sign. Although I still say, do you guys remember the play where he thought it was a fumble and he picked up the ball? There was like a blown whistle and he thought there was a fumble and it looked like he was thinking scoop and score touchdown. That was as fast as I've ever seen him move. I've still yet to see him do that on defense. But I'm starting to think I'm adding him to my list of young players that I have some high hopes for.
You know, and McCourty had a rough first half. But then in the second half, you know, when they needed to, he came up with that play along the sideline. That was a really good play. And, you know, in a critical time. And he, you know, he made a really clean, nice play on the ball.
And I would include...
That was a big play.
Vince Wilfork among the guys that I thought came up... Well, there was some debate locally that he wasn't off to a great start this year.
On right? WEEI.
Yes.
Ironically, the... The only place that he really
because
talks.
He didn't have any tackles,
but
or enough tackles.
You know, he both as a leader, post game talking about the importance of the win and best, most physical game he's been part of, biggest win in a long time around here. I think that's good. The other side, I would say, because we were debating, you know, young guys that are developing, old guys like Paul says with Mayo, is he gonna really get to where we want him to get to? I would include Merriweather in that class. Not good that James Sanders is out and Bill feels like he has to pull Merriweather. And I think Merriweather's playtime increased second because Gerard Page got hurt.
He would not have. I'm convinced he would not have gone back in that game if Page stayed healthy.
I would say that's a one downside.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that because that's, you know, on the top of every football show today is the whole helmet-to-helmet thing. So we're going to get into that eventually. You know, I do want to just focus on this game up front, though.
See, I would focus more on Merriweather's play in the game rather than the cheap hit because I think he was terrible in the game.
Well, but he's been terrible for a while.
And everybody's focusing on the physical presence that he provided with those hits. He had several big hits in the game, none of which were effective in any way.
Right.
You know, at least like Patrick Chung came over and hit Derek Mason, and they ended up breaking up a play. Now, it was a drop. I mean, Mason probably should have caught the ball. He had already dropped it before he got hit, but Chung comes over and lays a good clean hit and prevents a touchdown. Right. Merriweather didn't have one play that did that. For all of this big physical edge that he had, ironically, we're watching Bill Belichick glaring at him right now on ESPN.
Right.
The hit was terrible, and we can all agree on that. We all thought it was a cheap hit.
It was a cheap hit. To me,
the bigger problem for him is his play.
Yeah.
His angles continue to be bad. He's late in coming over. I thought he was late on the touchdown to Heap, which, by the way, he tried to do the same thing on, just missed.
Mm-hmm.
After the play, and then he had a big hit on the sideline that, you know, Mason got up and was fine. He caught the ball. It didn't prevent him.
I thought that hit was clean. The worst part of that hit was I thought he stood over him. It's like he's almost trying to get a penalty now for egging a guy on, taunting.
Right.
I don't see there's any place for that. I'm not saying I'm trying to run him out of town, but it seems
close.
Like they've tried to change this roster, the makeup, the mentality, all that stuff. I'm not sure Brandon Merriweather falls in line with everything else they've tried to do over the last year.
Well, certainly Patrick Chung does. He had a great game, both in the pass and in run support. He, Spikes, and Mayo, the three guys down the middle, led the team in tackles.
Again, those cutback lanes that we saw Ray Rice use so efficiently and so effectively, and Andy points this out all the time, the regular season game last year, too, not just the playoff game. I think guys like Chung and Spikes... obviously the outside guys we already talked about, Spikes and Mayo were excellent, and Chung was excellent in run support. Now, the secondary continues to be, in my opinion, a huge problem.
A work in progress is how we turn.
Well, that first half, you know, guys
Well, the whole
were,
game, really. Yeah. I mean, they had guys open the whole game. They had a big 20-yard completion in overtime that got them to midfield.
Yeah, now, I don't want to, throw any water on the celebration that we're having here. But so I do think that the Ravens offense played close to the vest. I don't think they looked downfield enough.
They aired. They had the game. They thought they had the game won. They definitely put it. They closed up shop too early, and I blame a lot of that on the coach, on Harbaugh. I thought not going for a 4th and inches there was an egregiously bad mistake. And I also thought.
And you made a ballsy nod.
I made a nod when we were losing, which I can't.
He's getting old.
Doing
he actually
that.
Just nodded off. It's
well, it could be, but
I can't remember.
He was eating a cookie, and he was like, "Good."
I can't remember giving the nod to you.
Was he bobbing
when we were losing?
No,
I can't never remember doing that, but. I did on Sunday, and I felt pretty confident about it.
Yep.
I just thought the way they were playing defense, if you have so much confidence that your defense can play, what do you care if you give it to them on the 20 or the 50? You know, go and try to win the game without your defense getting on the field. And I also thought, in turn, the drive before that, I thought the Ravens did a great job of periodically bringing pressure throughout the game. All of a sudden, they get a 20-10 lead in the fourth quarter, and they sit back and drop 7 or 8 guys. When are people going to learn you can't beat Tom Brady by doing that? He will kill you every time if you allow him to.
Especially when he got rid of the albatross that was Randy Moss.
There were like 1 or 2 throws that he had to make in the fourth quarter overtime when he had, and he kept the 24-yarder to Gronkowski on 1st and 25. He had a guy right in his face. Hey, that was about it.
Kevin, how long was Andy's mic not working?
I don't know. I got a call that said they couldn't hear you or Andy.
Oh, great!
But then
they missed the Shakespeare sign
no.
to open the game. Open the show.
Well, they could only hear Paul. And then I just called Jason, and he turned you guys on, and he could hear you fine.
Talk
so I'm not really sure.
Only hearing Paul.
How many emails do you have, Fred?
People think the Patriots actually lost.
I had about 4 or 5.
I'm not the one that brought up Merriweather.
They couldn't
hear
Andy.
No, he's the guy throwing water.
Weird.
They couldn't hear Andy.
But you know what I think is the best part of this, to stay opposite of the throwing water on it, to stay on the positive side. Is we're arguing two straight games now. It's team victory, it's offensive and special teams, and we're almost arguing, well, did the defense win the game because they forced, or did the offense win the game because they finally made plays? It's the exact opposite of last year, where it was arguing,
right.
Did the defense lose the game because they gave up points,
right.
Or did Brady lose the game because
he
couldn't get a
first enough.
Down?
Right.
It's the exact opposite, and 2-0, I think that's a great sign.
Good,
I mean, these aren't just layup games here that they're winning either. At Miami and against the Ravens are not gimmies.
No. And they're going to go to San Diego and do the same thing. They're going to beat the Chargers.
And then they're going to go to Seattle. And then they're going to go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, we should point out that Fred is very upset with Andy and me because
I'm not upset.
We picked San Diego.
I just
in the
don't
paper.
Understand why you would pick San Diego.
I don't understand why you wouldn't understand it.
Well, I don't understand why you wouldn't understand why I wouldn't understand.
You guys are stubborn, and you know you don't want to be.
Do you ever look at the teams,
you don't want
or the players,
yes.
or the trends, or
that's
you know, the
exactly
home field.
Why I thought you would pick the Patriots.
So
that's exactly
so
why.
So you think the Chargers stink
Go
because they're 2-4?
I think they're a team in trouble.
What do the Patriots still suck at right now?
Nothing.
What's the biggest issue? The biggest issue
okay,
right now.
Pass defense.
If that's
Thank
the
you.
Answer, then
pass defense.
They have an offense that can put up big plays in the passing game with a quarterback who's far better than any they've faced.
And they have done that, but they're still 2-4.
They haven't done that.
They've put up
well,
big
numbers
put up in
big
the passing
plays.
Game.
Big numbers,
they've
but not
shot
big
themselves
points.
In the foot.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So what if they do it this week is my point.
Against
playing
your
a bad
secondary.
Defense.
What are the great defenses that San Diego has played that have stopped them from putting up points? They stopped themselves from putting up points.
Listen.
Are you arguing for the Chargers or against
I'm saying
them?
That they're a team prone to making big
mistakes. I have
mistakes.
Nothing to counter it with because he's saying all the reasons
right.
why I think San Diego's going to win.
So you think they're going to correct everything this game?
I think that they probably will correct some of the mistakes that have cost them games.
Okay.
Because I think they're a pretty good team.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to go 2-14. I think they're a pretty good team. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're not. Maybe they are what they are. Maybe this is just the beginning of a very bad season at San Diego.
No, but even if you expect them to still shoot themselves in the foot, just pure matchup-wise, this secondary that we're still saying he's still a work in progress against Phillip Rivers, Darren Sproles, Antonio Gates, if he's healthy, sounds like he's going to play, right? That was the last I heard. That
I thought he's supposed to have an MRI.
He may be limited, but he should be on the field. Malcolm Floyd, that worries me more than Joe Flacco. He has yet to prove, Joe Flacco, that he is an elite quarterback. Phillip Rivers has proven he's an elite passer. He doesn't get over the hump in terms of winning, but he'll challenge you. The Patriots know it firsthand from a couple years ago.
I'm thinking the Patriots make yet another step, and they beat San Diego
because
they're a better team, period.
Who?
the Patriots.
You think player for player they're a better team?
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I said they're a better team. It's not about player for player.
Okay.
It's not about
all right.
It's not about Antonio Gates being better than Algie Crumpler. They don't play against each other.
No, you I'm know? Worried that Antonio Gates is better than Brandon Spikes.
Because
I still saw
on.
The other day Brandon Spikes running with his back to the quarterback looking for the tight end.
Would you say player for player the Ravens are better than the Patriots?
Yes.
All right, then.
And I think that right now, too. Yeah. I think if the Patriots
but
weren't
coming
off
the bye,
they would
have lost. But it's not about that. It's about how you play as a team. This is a team
Do you think the
sport.
Patriots played as a team better than the Ravens on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
And you don't buy desperation.
Well, I think they
home
were pretty
team.
Even. Let's put it that way. They were pretty
well,
even.
Well, I'm just glad it wasn't as easy as a win as last year's was for you.
No.
You don't think there's any reason to pick the Chargers?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. But I'm surprised
but
that
he's
all,
mad at us.
All of you picked
All of us.
The
Everybody picked the Patriots to win, except for me, Andy, and Eric.
I'm talking about you. When I say all of you, I mean the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Okay.
You know?
I don't understand why
I mean, I'm not mad.
That is,
I am not mad.
I just
mad.
Don't understand why
I'm just
that's
a little bewildered.
Are you telling me I have to pick the Patriots every
no.
week?
No, that's
like I said, I'm
clearly
not
what
mad.
He's telling us.
I'm not mad. I just wondered
I
why.
I just don't understand what.
I just told you why. Phillip Rivers, a big play passing attack against a secondary that I don't feel comfortable with yet. Down
out,
the field.
Out in San Diego.
And all that.
And all that other stuff, like the intangible, you know, you're crossing the country.
Right.
You're not coming off a bye this week. You had the most physical game you've ever played in, by
There's
the
a
way.
Lot of things.
Don't you think they could be beat up as much as they loved it and looked better late? They played an extra quarter of the most physical game they've ever played in.
Now, the flip side of that is San Diego might be looking at it and say, well, we've been here before. We know we've started 1-3 or, you know, 2-4.
That's the one reason
and
I
we
would
rattle
pick
off
the Patriots.
And we rattle off 10 wins in a row. That's what we do.
They I might think not that have switch that, is tough to
They might not
sometimes.
Have that sense of urgency because they think this is what we always do. And if they don't, they're going to lose.
I was just surprised.
If they don't go into the game with a sense of urgency that they need to have, the Chargers will lose.
I just figured at least one of you would pick the Patriots.
Well, you knew Eric wouldn't. Because he's
no,
closed
he's,
the door on the
now,
dynasty.
Eric
may,
he's now out to prove
Eric
a point.
Eric may be picking Cleveland when we
yeah,
play them
he,
in a
he's
few
out
weeks.
To prove a point.
He's a baby Borges over there.
Yeah. You know,
I just don't.
He's like Will McDonough back in 85 when the Patriots went on that run and kept winning road games in the playoffs. And every week McDonough would get on NBC because AFC was on him. And he would just he was getting madder and madder after each week and picking the other team until finally he got it right in the Super Bowl.
Please,
but,
me
alone. Boy, did he.
Yeah. You know,
I just don't think.
No,
it's,
stop telling lies.
It was
you
that
are,
controversial.
You are an habitual liar.
But let's throw water on this, Fred. I got one problem with this game. Why does Rob Gronkowski not play as much now in the post-Moss
it's,
era?
That's an interesting question.
You had to listen to me probably say
yeah.
it 20 times in the
Where
G-Force? Is Rob Gronkowski?
Right.
Where is G-Force? And what happened when they finally gave him the ball or threw the ball in his direction? He made plays.
Well,
as
maybe
he always
they
does.
Think that that's how his effectiveness will be if we don't target him too early.
Why though?
I don't know.
His style of play.
I don't know.
No, but his style of play would seem to lend itself to, we were talking about, you know, the size, the matchups. If he's covered, you can still throw it to him. He'll
yeah.
make a play.
Yeah.
I want to see those plays over the middle, down the field. He's excitable. I feel like he's a guy that once he gets rolling, he could really get rolling.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he gets ahead of himself and thinks he crossed the first down marker when he didn't and celebrates. But my belief on that, Fred, is
maybe that's another reason.
Well, I think there's a chance he had didn't really know where that marker was and thought, I ran a long way. It must have been a first down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no yellow line on the field that makes it hard.
Oh,
we
there
have
isn't?
That advantage.
You mean that thing that we see on
they
TV isn't
that.
Really there?
He was probably looking for it.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline.
Ah.
Now, this helmet to helmet, we talked a little bit about Merriweather's hit. We all think it was a bad hit, egregious, exactly what the NFL is trying to prevent.
Dirty in execution, if not in intent.
But there were three or four other plays over the weekend, and that has prompted Ray Anderson, who's the vice president of football operations for the NFL, to say that from now on, including this week perhaps, you know, what happened over last Sunday, suspensions could be doled out for flagrant, devastating hits. I don't know what you guys feel, but I think that, you know, to all of a sudden say, you know, suspensions are in play for the same thing that happened 2 weeks ago in the middle of the season, I don't think is fair. But I do think that, you know, if they really seriously feel that it's a player safety thing, they have to do something.
It's clearly a player safety thing.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys aim for the head.
Yeah.
They're headhunters. Yeah. Paul and I just argued this for our TV show, although it may end up on the cutting editing
room
floor.
No, we didn't argue that. We argued something different for the TV
show. Okay, we didn't argue. But I think it's a culture in the game of football among these players, and Jerome Harrison kind of talked about it. I'm trying to hurt guys, not injure them, and it's this
James.
This big, yeah, James. Jay Harrison from Pittsburgh, this one. It's all about hype, and it's a culture. And I think to change that, you need to make dramatic moves. And I think dramatic moves, as Rodney Harrison said, I never cared about the fines. I cared when they took me away from the game and away from my team.
I did think that the Harrison quote, and I caught that live when we were working Sunday night, when he talked about that, you know, I never cared about penalties. I never cared about fines. Every year I had a little nest egg saved up for my fines that I knew I was going to get. But when you start saying I'm suspended and I hurt my team through suspension and I missed the game myself, that mattered to me. And he talked about when he came back from his 4-game suspension, which obviously was for something else. That was eye-opening to me that Rodney would talk in those terms. I would think that the penalties on the field that hurt the team would at least do something to curtail it, but obviously it hasn't.
No, in fact, in this culture, there's some belief that it helps you. It sets a tone.
Well, there was talk in the locker room. There was talk in the locker room about that.
That it's a positive in some way.
You get
a positive. I didn't think Bill looked at it as a positive.
Bill didn't. Listen,
Harrison,
Bill was not happy on the sideline. I heard Bill in the press conference yesterday, the conference call. No, it's a press conference. Yesterday, he wasn't happy, and he wasn't happy when I heard him on Patriots Monday with the boys on EEI.
Yeah.
His message was the same. It wasn't. Listen, if he was just saying one of those things like, "Don't worry, Brandon, I got your back on this one. I know what you did, and that in the overall that did good for our defense." But publicly, I didn't sound like that to me.
That.
It sounded like it's, you know, we go over these things and we instruct the players on the proper techniques to use and the legal hitting zones and all of that stuff. That Merriweather hit was so far over the top. No. I mean, we see guys launch themselves all the time and leave their feet. This was a guy launching himself and intentionally projecting his head forward.
Yeah, it's just
in a very odd manner.
It was
he's
like
lucky he didn't get
it's
hurt.
It's like he meant to give him a headbutt.
Right.
That's exactly what he was trying to do.
While in midair, while he'd already
launched.
He's
lucky he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But the issue, I think it's so simple, the answer. I don't know how you get the players to go to the answer, but old school was, if you want to make a big play, put your helmet on the football. Well, the football is never up at the guy's head. Once he, you know, it's right
but
here.
But for receivers, it is
yeah.
because they could put their hands up to try to catch it.
Was this one?
Well, this one. Listen,
I hear
what
you're saying.
With on
it
this
wasn't.
One. No one's arguing
put
with you.
Put your helmet
on
the ball, and the ball. Okay, 90% of the time, the ball is in the guy's elbow, which is in the same area as the numbers.
See,
hit him in the numbers, and you'll be fine.
You'll
never get suspended. It'll never be a devastating.
I understand what you're saying about this, Andy, and I agree with you. But I think your numbers are off on the hits that are going to end up
getting
suspended for.
Because if the ball is at his face, then make a play on the ball.
But that's what you have to do. But I'm saying the whole
either way, your head leading the way towards his head is never the answer. Either play the ball with your own freaking hands or put your head on the ball when it's in his gut.
And here's the thing.
Very simple.
I think that there are some cases where the player's out to hurt the other guy. But I think most of these cases, they're just trying to, you know, hit the guy hard. And, you know, by the time the two helmets meet, I don't think it's intentional. But the point is, like you said, you're either making a play on the ball or you got to be making a tackle.
Right.
You know, and you're not making
a tackle.
Or a
hit. I'm okay if you're thinking to yourself,
but if your arms
I want to break
side,
him in half.
How many times do we see these safeties bouncing off guys?
See, I'm okay with that because you know when he'll stop doing that? As he keeps bouncing off Todd Heap, because if I hit him in the gut, it's not, you know, his head versus my head. He's a bigger force, and it'll end up
that
way.
But if you wrap him up.
But I don't care. Launch yourself all you want into his midsection, into his pads, numbers, that area. It's never a good play, either safety-wise or football-wise, to launch
into
his head.
And Paul kind of mentioned something that is absolutely true. A lot of these plays, the guy leading with his head, the defender, he's the one that gets hurt.
Right.
That's how you get paralyzed.
Sure.
Is when you lead with your head and you jam your neck.
Well, part of the problem is there's so rarely paralysis on these. It's usually the freak plays.
Right.
Something weird happens, like you know the guy on the Jets, the pass rusher. I'm drawing a blank on his name now, but it's these weird hits.
Yeah,
the
know.
Huge hits
Eatley, or whatever
lead to concussions
Utley.
And injuries, but never.
No, I was a Detroit.
Or less off the Utley's Detroit.
Right?
The other guy's on the Jets.
Who am I thinking of? I know who you're talking
about.
The guy,
about.
But a lot of
the
these
guy.
Big hits.
A Bird? No,
Bird. Dennis Bird.
Dennis Bird.
Yeah.
Good Fred.
Yeah.
But I just
the guy.
I think you need to. I said to Paul, It's an extreme situation, and I think to fix it, you need to go beyond. You need to do something that is too, it's too extreme in nature, but it'll work. It'll change it. It'll change the culture, the big ball mentality of I'm taking your head off.
They
do
need to suspend guys because that's the only thing that's going to curtail it.
You know, I heard them talking on the Monday night pregame about, you know, they're coming out with these better mouth guards that will prevent, you know, at least it'll protect from the concussion. But, you know, better equipment just means more risk-taking.
And that, and Chris Nowinski, concussion thing is false. Yeah. According to their research,
the mouth guard does nothing.
It protects your helmets, mouth, your teeth and stuff.
There are helmets that they're looking at and whatnot, but the mouth guard, they said,
is
nothing
for
it's
the brain moving in the head. It's got nothing to
but
do
better,
with it.
It's better technique. It's not better equipment.
But and I hate the argument that if you're thinking on the field, you're going to get hurt, that you can't do that. I'm not asking you to think except in your technique in terms of hitting below the shoulders, not at the head.
Why should you have
don't
to think?
Don't make the decision last minute. Make the decision every time you're playing.
Why should you have to think, I can't launch myself head first into the other guy's head? Why should I have to think that?
Right.
Shouldn't that be just inherent in the way you've been brought? No one ever taught anyone to tackle that way.
Right.
And I played, I mean, I know I didn't play in the NFL, but I played football for a lot of years. No one ever, good coach, bad coach, indifferent. Right. No one ever taught me, drop your head and try to hit head first. Right. No one ever said that in, what, 15 years of football that I played.
No one has told that. And any guy that at the youth level that did would be drummed out of there so fast. You know, it's just not how it's taught.
But
and
it does go down that far. It trickles down into high school and college. This is a football issue, not just an NFL.
It's a huge problem.
And that's why I think if guys see, if kids see, you know, high school, well, Brandon Mario's getting suspended. I'm going to get suspended. I think that'll change it. You need to go to extremes.
And you want to talk about trickling down. I've been watching a lot of high school this year. My nephew's going through his senior season. It's the same culture. You know, there was a kid, one of his teammates had a hit on a kickoff toward the end of a game a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to him, you know, they were outside and stuff. I was talking to my nephew, and he was saying, and it wasn't anything, he didn't drop his head, but it just was a big hit. It wasn't a dirty hit or anything like that. And he goes, yeah, my head's ringing. And I said, you need to go and look at, so you need to go and get someone to, he goes, no, I can't. They won't let me practice. Yeah. So no matter how many times I told this kid, who, by the way, I don't really even know, you know, I only know him briefly through my nephew, you need to go and look at the trainer. You need to have a doctor look at you. You think he did that, or do you think he hit it all weekend and went to practice you know, the next time?
508-543-7482. So we all would. 7482 is the phone number.
That's not okay.
Anthony in Naples is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up? The Portuguese power in the house. What do you got?
No, nothing much, big head. pretty much, I want to try to phrase this properly. Not that I'm defending Brandon Merriweather, but, you know, looking back at it and as the play happened, first and foremost, he's a moron, okay? And it didn't help him with the two previous hits, you know, the one that you said, like, he's standing over Mason, and then the other one on the goal line, the other hit towards Heap. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like he gets there late, and then he tries to make a big play to make up for his lateness.
Right.
Okay? But the thing is, again, he's a moron. He doesn't see, he's not aware of his surroundings. And I don't think he was aware. I forget who started the tackle on Heap. Was it Spikes, probably?
Chung. Chung got beat on the touchdown.
Who's that?
You talking about the touchdown or the...
No, I'm talking about the final hit, you know, where he got taken out of the game, the one everybody's talking about.
Yeah, Mayo was in the area. I think
Mayo.
Spikes.
It was definitely Mayo.
Mayo didn't hit him.
Mayo was making a play on the ball.
Mayo was actually complaining to the official. That's the only reason why I know he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember the play, and there was a linebacker.
There was somebody kind of dragging him down.
Might have been Spikes. Yeah.
Yes. And the thing was, I think Merriweather wasn't aware of that, and I think he was aiming for a certain spot. He wasn't aiming for his head, and by the time he got there, he was already on his way down, and that's where he leveled off with the head. That's why I think he was trying to explain to Bill on the sideline, like, I didn't intend to do that. But either which way, the damage was done.
Well, it could have been, Anthony, but the point is, look at how he went at doing whatever he did. Okay. He went out with his arms down and with his head first.
To me, whether
he can't
he,
do that.
To me, whether he hit.
Where I'm defending him is that everybody makes it sound like he was aiming for his head. Either which way, I think he sucks.
Everybody is making it sound like he aimed with his head,
right?
Not at a head. See, to me, whether he hit him in the shoulder, leg, whatever, spear. It was the same play. He hit with his head intentionally.
I've been hearing it on the radio.
It was a helmet to helmet, which made it even worse. But the intention was to hit Heap with his head.
And that's illegal.
That's a 15-yard penalty.
The part that he was going down is why he then extended his head in the headbutt to make sure he hit him in the head. That's how I think I don't think he may have done that had he not been going down.
Second, Andy, you can't really. I don't think he can do that. And he's looking down. He doesn't know where his head is at that.
Oh, that's perfect. He's looking down. That's even better. He's launching with the top of his head.
Second thing, I don't buy that at all.
I don't either.
He adjusted
his head to hit him in the head.
The play that they ran the end around with Bolden when he's coming around the outside and they have Ninkovich hooked. And he's going to get around him, and he cuts back inside. At the last second, Ninkovich does the only thing he could do.
Whipped his leg out.
And threw his leg out and tripped him. That's at the last second. I mean, that's you can definitely adjust your body to do something that, I mean, that was ended up being a great play by Ninkovich because I think that would have been a big play for the Ravens. So the 10-yard penalty was well worth it on that play.
Yeah, but you're talking about Ninkovich, like, recognizing, okay, I'm getting blocked on this, I'm rolling to this side, and I know that offensive player is coming to that side and just rolls out and kicks his legs out just hoping to get something.
So you don't think
that's what he did, and Andy's saying...
You don't think Merriweather changed his head movement and put his head lower and extended his head and headbutted out into him?
Because
using your theory, he should have gone right over the top had he not headbutted.
Like I said, first and foremost, he's a moron because he was
launching himself. You did say that. You did say that.
Okay? I said that. He sucked.
And he leads with his head.
Yeah, he's trying to recoup for how bad he is. All I'm saying, I'm just trying to defend him a little bit. What I'm saying, I'm hearing in the media, everybody keeps saying he aimed his head at his head. That's what everybody keeps saying.
I think that was that last bit of it where he adjusted his head. I think he made sure he hit him in the head.
I think he did exactly what he wanted to on the play.
I do, too.
I really do.
I like to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt where it's just like he's not that much of a moron. I know he's a moron.
But I don't think he's trying to hurt anybody. Yeah. Again, I think it's wrapped up in the culture of football and these big hits and knocking their head off. It's a phrase. You go over the middle, I'm going to knock your head off. It's a phrase.
Punch him in the mouth.
Just wrap up the guy, either try to strip him, and stop going for the stupid big hits because it never works out.
But we've seen it for years. I mean, there was Eugene Wilson used to do it.
Yeah,
Asante
Samuel has worked out and... Those few times make everyone else want to do it, but I've seen guys blow up Brandon Merriweather. You know what I mean? It doesn't work out for him.
He might have decided he can't tackle, so I might as well launch.
I've seen guys blow up other guys using good technique as well, and I'd rather have them try do that.
Remember that hit Brian Cox had
on Jerome Payton?
Yeah, going across the middle.
I like to refer to it as the most overrated hit in Patriots history, but
I'm the one that throws the cold water on everybody.
It changed the season.
Of course it
whatever
did.
Whatever it is, he sucks. You know, it's just it's ridiculous. Another first-round pick got wasted on such a meaningless player.
All right, Anthony.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
Thanks for calling. All right.
Playing the role of the public defender.
No, I mean, I don't know if it's the true in Merriweather's case, but I think in the majority of these cases, the guy didn't mean to make contact with the helmet. But, you know, you're moving, he's moving. And you start moving at a time, and you can't control what the other guy's doing.
I think that's an argument for Dante Robinson and DeSean Jackson. I think those two came, and they're both moving full speed. I thought this
suspension
one, Merriweather, no.
I don't think so.
I think this one, Merriweather lined him up.
Right.
And then, to me, the worst part is that extra movement of the head to, like, make sure he did it.
Right.
It was almost like he was a wrestler selling his move, making sure it really looks like I get him.
No, you're right. You're right.
And again, I'll get back to, I think Bill was pissed.
Oh, yeah, he's like,
what were you doing, or what was that, or something?
And I think what made him even more pissed was the explanation from Merriweather.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Just say I effed up.
Yeah.
I won't do it again.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a lot of emails.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Babs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because is a stew a soup or is it
no
a stew?
Soup for you? It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Lots to talk about. A great win against the Baltimore Ravens. Some thought they were the best team in the NFL.
Well, some still do.
Patriots knocked them off.
That's everything but Patriots Paul Perillo.
Why? I didn't say I do.
Do
I
you?
Said some still do.
Do. You?
I heard NFL Network, they had the three.
I'm not asking the NFL Network, do you?
No, I don't think that. I didn't think they were the best team in the NFL going in.
Who's the best team in the NFL?
I have no idea.
Wow. Mr. Pittsburgh. Opinion has no opinion.
Pittsburgh, how's that?
Finished, I have no idea, then says Pittsburgh.
Well, you're going to make me pick somebody. Well, I haven't seen a good team yet, and I said this last week.
I think Pittsburgh's
week.
Pretty good.
I haven't seen a really good team yet.
I think Pittsburgh's pretty
well,
good.
When I see them, I'll
great running
I'll
back,
in.
Great
I
defense.
Seen,
I like that game.
Pittsburgh hasn't been on national TV yet. I mean, obviously they knew that Roethlisberger wasn't going to be playing, but they haven't played a game yet. I missed that stupid play. Kansas City, Houston. Someone explain to me what happened. It was a controversial call against Kansas City. No one seems to know what happened there. How did the Chiefs get screwed in this game?
All right, let's. We'll have to
strippers.
Let's see. A lot of emails. A lot of good emails.
Really?
A lot of, yeah, good substance to the emails.
How do you know? You already read them.
Kind of. I've been, you know.
Skimming.
I certainly haven't been listening to you guys. So.
We know that.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Steve from Warwick, UK. You've talked all year about whether this defense will have improved sufficiently to be able to compete in the playoffs, and there seems to be a distinction between the front seven and the secondary. The front seven seems to be taking baby steps each week and then building upon their performance in the previous week to provide a more effective pass rush and better run defense. Spike's tackles are increasing, Diedrich is getting starts, and Cunningham is providing better pass rush. The secondary seems to improve a little over the course of each game, but then regresses massively at the start of each new game. It's like they're simply not learning from their mistakes, whereas the front seven is. Coupling this with the new harsher penalties on helmet-to-helmet hits makes me think that Merriweather is going to go backwards, and we now have a hole at safety, as well as corner going forward. To that end, with four picks in the first two rounds next year, would you try to use all the picks on defense?
No.
I would say a corner and pass rushing linebacker were already the priority, and you can now add safety to that group. If you can also get a defensive end, is that sufficient to have both talent and depth on the defense next year?
Outside linebacker.
Why are we thinking about next
running
year?
Back, wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Those are my three. That's my focal points.
Why are we?
I do think they need to focus a lot on defense, though. I think that they have.
I know, but how many corners are we going to draft? Well, you have to draft 100 to get one.
No, I didn't. Well, it all depends on how well you do with the first 99. Looks like they got a good, pretty good one in McCourty.
Maybe.
Pretty good.
Maybe. I thought Butler looked pretty good last year. Now it's everybody true. Wants to run Butler out of town.
No, I mean, we've talked about this on the show a lot. I
Butler out of honeymoon.
I wholeheartedly
McCourty
agree
in
with
honeymoon.
You. I think that there was similar moments in games like the one that Fred talked about with McCourty on Heap in overtime. I think Butler had those moments last year too, and now he can't get on the field.
I think both corners on Sunday for large portions of the game looked like a ball in tall grass.
I thought they were terrible in the
game.
I
thought they sucked.
But
I haven't given up on them either.
You know, I think it's a product, you know, the whole Bill thing. It's really how it all fits together.
We also don't have a hole in the secondary if Jimmy can get his hamstring.
We don't get a lot of pressure.
I heard that was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Strippers has a couple emails about San Diego. He says San Diego beat powerhouses Arizona and Jacksonville and lost to powerhouses St. Louis, Oakland, Seattle, and KC. He also says that stats are for losers. San Diego was number one in total offense and number one in total defense at this point. So, shows you how stats can be deceiving.
And I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Stats can be deceiving.
Lunch is here, made possible by
James,
the Patriots' most interesting Patriot fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Thank you, James.
Listen, if the Chargers play the way they played the first six games, the Patriots will beat them. I don't think there's any question about that. I agree with Strippers. Stats are for losers.
Gary in Virginia Beach writes in. He says, I don't support illegal hits, but it is a game of split second. And oftentimes, receivers, when feeling they are going to be hit, begin to drop to the ground. Suddenly, the target the DBs were aiming for becomes the receiver's head.
I think most of the tacklers aim high.
Not the case always, but you can see players in video going to the ground, so how does this impact the whole accident intentional suspension debate? Some careful review needs to be applied before fines and suspensions start being handed out like traffic tickets to support public opinion.
Well, I have some confidence in the league. They're not just going to, in the heat of the game, live say, that guy's suspended right now. They're going to review it and do their due diligence.
And this is one of those things that I disagree with really strongly. This whole receiver's turtle, that's not what creates helmet-to-helmet hits for the most part. If you're not leading with your head, you're not going to hit a guy in the head. It's pretty simple. I mean, it doesn't matter what the receiver does. Now, yeah, there are times where a guy is in a spot and then, you know, the Eric Smith one was a perfect example, that vicious hit that he had on Anquan Boldin. If Boldin didn't get hit from behind and knocked forward, Smith doesn't hit him helmet to helmet. But you know what? No matter what happens, Smith does hit Boldin with his helmet. And that's illegal. You can't hit head first. So I think we like to make a lot of excuses for these defensive players. And, you know, I know the whole, you know, the rowdy macho mentality. Of,
right.
You know, why don't you just put flags on these guys? I don't buy it. I think you can play a very tough physical game of football without hitting
with
your head.
I'd like to see those guys saying that if it was their kid lying motionless on the field, how, let him play. That's just such BS. It really is.
And that's why they need to do it now, the suspensions, because are you really going to let it go 10 more weeks and risk having something happen because you didn't legislate something out? You got to do everything you can.
Right.
To help. I mean, nothing is going to be perfect. Guys are going to get hurt going forward, whether you have these rules or not. But you got to do everything you can.
They only delivered Diet Coke today, Paul. Is it okay if I have some? Thanks.
They were only asked to deliver Diet Coke, which will be the case moving forward.
Well, I would rather have you drink the regular Coke that you have right in front of you. But, yeah, you can eat, drink whatever you want.
Enjoy Fred. That regular Coke. It's your last.
Fred from Halifax, did my wife call? Now, that is an old-fashioned Patriots win. I remember back in 2007, Pats fans were not used to blowing teams out. We were used to having every game be a nail-biter. Even when we won over 20 in a row, we never blew anyone out and fought to the end for every win. Although it is hard on the nerves, they are more complete team wins. It is hard for even the most pessimistic fan to not think that this defense is going to keep getting better. There are going to be more ups and downs, but clearly there is evidence that they are going to get better with age and experience.
Where were all these emails last week when I was on an island and you people were mocking me?
The front seven played well. The secondary is a work in progress, but there is no reason to believe that they won't improve as well. All signs are pointing up, and we have a long, hard road to run. The present and future looks bright. I'm heading to the Vikings game next week, and it looks like it will be a really positive atmosphere. Question, what are the Pats going to do with Mankins when he reports, I would not want a bad apple to spoil the bunch?
He's not a bad apple. As we said on the TV show, they will put him at left guard and play and be a better offensive line because of it.
Okay.
Fred, I know you disagree.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about trying to keep that message in the locker room unified, and that may be one of the reasons why they got rid of Moss and one of the reasons why they elevated Crumpler to a captain, you know, and why Wes Welker has made veiled comments about, you know, guys who don't want to be here don't have to be here, guys don't not giving up and, you know, sticking with it for 60 minutes. I don't know.
We've also heard plenty about separation of business and football.
Yes, but do you bring
Do you think all the issues with Moss were just about business, or did business come into football?
I think business came into football for Moss when it was time to play.
Do you think it'll come into football for Logan Mankins?
I don't know, but the question I have is, do you just insert him into the starting lineup, or barring injury or bad play by Connolly, do you have him sit the bench?
Well, I don't think it'll be the very first week, but yeah, I think he'll resume his starting duties as soon as he's ready, as soon as he shows Belichick that he's ready. We have, what, 6 weeks to wait? Five weeks to wait? I don't know. It's plenty of time to worry about that.
All right. Chris writes in, hey, guys, well, it looks like the Patriots are on an upswing in this roller coaster season. Just for kicks, I wanted to write five things I thought earlier this season and get your comments on them, whether you agreed and how wrong I was. Think of this as bizarre world version of I told you so. One, Randy Moss is the second best player on this team. By letting go of him, Bill Belichick might be rebuilding. Two, if Fred Taylor gets hurt, they're going to miss Lawrence Maroney. Three, I really wish the Pats had gotten Bobby Carpenter. He just got released, I think, right, by Miami?
Oh, again?
Yeah. Four, I really wish the Pats had gotten Vincent Jackson. And five, Danny Woodhead's a great story, but he'll never contribute on a regular basis.
That's a good one.
So what do you guys think about my future as an NFL analyst? I know is that the Pats have become an exciting team to watch, and if Sunday's fourth quarter and OT defense can show up each week, this season could become a pleasant surprise.
I think your future as an analyst is fine because we're all wrong quite often.
Sure.
I like the Woodhead one because last week he was just a key part of the game plan. I mean, he had one of those Kevin Falk days, and I don't want to compare him to Falk, but, you know, 50, 60 yards rushing, 50, 60 yards receiving.
And he's getting more reps than law firm.
He's actually blocking now. That's something we talked about. What's going to happen when a guy, well, you know what he's going to do? He's going to cut his feet out from underneath him just like he did on Sunday.
Yeah, he did on Sunday. But it was, listen, every once in a while we fall into one. We all talked about it. The Patriots are going to run the football on Sunday, and they're going to do it out of different formations in different ways. Well, they had a reverse to the wide receiver Tate, a tight end around, and I think 11 carries for Woodhead in the game, many of which came out of spread formations and passing situations. That's how you have to run at Baltimore, because if you want to line up and smack them in the teeth, you're not getting anywhere. And basically they didn't when they tried to do that. And that's why I think Benny had 10 carries for 20 yards in the game. So there's the difference. When Baltimore was playing run, it was 10 carries for 20 yards. When they were playing pass, it was 11 for 50 whatever for Woodhead. I mean, give Woodhead credit. He was outstanding in that game.
And Brady,
outstanding.
Brady said Monday morning, you know, he's in there. When he's in there, they can run with him. They can pass with him. You know, he has a lot of flexibility.
His lateral quickness is phenomenal on those runs and after he has the ball in his hands, shifting left and right. I've noticed these guys, Branch, Welker, and even Woodhead, they all have this thing where you ever notice when they're running, their legs are always at an angle to their body, out to the side, because they're always like going in a different direction.
I've noticed that, definitely.
And they start out at 5'9", but when they're running, they're like 5'5", because of the angle of their legs. It's always... It's interesting. It's never
It always
that
looks
straight
like they're
run.
Off balance, kind of, but they're
but
never.
But they're never. They're always perfectly balanced while, because their lower body's still doing one thing and it's going for the next move. It's this weird. Keep an eye on it, the body angle. I'd like to see one of those sports science guys do something, breaking down all the angles.
Yep. Let's see. Brent writes in, long time no write. I've been busy at work, but able to keep up with the podcast. So I was thinking about the big hit issue this morning on my drive into work, and I think that I've come up with the solution that the NFL would embrace these days. Now, in order to stop players from hitting each other hard, they should wear belts with long flags stuck to them. And if you want to tackle, I'm sure that is about to be a bad as word as well in the NFL, you rip off one of the flags. Of course, you would need to do this in such a way that the belt that the flag is attached to does not move because it might cause bruising. The other option is to have all players wear those blow-up sumo wrestler costumes. Obviously, Brent isn't in favor of this. Is the league serious?
Douchebag. Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
If he can't tell the difference between a big hit and a dirty hit, then he's clearly not the guy we want handing out these suspensions and is an idiot.
Wow. Brent, you just got called
out. I mean, that was ridiculous. The tone of that email was ridiculous.
Look, that's the tone of a lot of these guys, not just Brent. Guys on TV. You know, why don't you just put skirts on them?
Usually my tone for some of these things, like the Brady stuff, the quarterbacks. I think the quarterbacks, they've gone a little too far. But there's nothing... The quarterbacks you can't hit. Talk about devastating hits. They flag you if you have a devastating hit on a quarterback, and then they pick and choose what rule they're going to label
it. I see. Comparing those two, the way they've protected the quarterback and the way they're talking about these hits in the secondary is night and day. If you go into a quarterback with your head first and you launch yourself into a quarterback, then that's the same. I can't even recall the last time I saw that. You know, a guy launching himself through the air, headbutting a quarterback the way we saw James Harrison do and Merriweather do on Sunday. That's a whole different thing. This is not flag football. These pseudo tough guys, they like to, you know, hide. They never were out there taking these kinds of hits the way these guys are. I mean, why don't you have a little compassion for DeSean Jackson, who you know, didn't get up after that hit, which, by the way, was a clean hit.
Right.
I thought.
I mean, Brent is the perfect guy you're talking about, Fred. They talk a good game, but if it was his son laying on the field, he wouldn't be talking quite the same way.
Marvin writes in, how about a PFW game ball segment? Now we know that Paul's game ball would go to the defense. Homer Fred's, of course, would give his game ball to Branch and Brady. Andy will always give his game ball to Gronk or any of the three-headed tight end monsters. And Eric would surely give his game ball to the kicker. The game ball would have to go to Danny Woodhead for his timely and shifty running that was huge in terms of keeping the Ravens defense honest and respect the run and give Brady time to find his receiver. So my game ball would go to Danny Woodhead. There you go.
That's a good pick.
It's a good idea, but we should give a game ball too to the PFW analyst who predicts, you know, what the game's going to
24-21 and ended up being 23-20.
Yeah. Or like Eric. Even
I
Eric
said 27-20.
Even Eric said like 24-20 Ravens, which was like almost the same, just flipped.
I think
we were all close.
Yeah, right? Everybody picked.
Yeah, that's why Andy poo-poo. Fred was giving me credit in the press box for almost having it perfect, and Andy poo-pooed it by saying, "Well, everybody else did too."
Well, it was one of those weeks where pretty much everybody had it right around 20, going one way or the other, in that area. Now, if you want to praise me for being ahead of the curve on the defense coming together, I'm okay with that. I can get taken game ball for that. Although, no, apparently everybody's on board. That guy.
I wish that you had been serious when you said it.
I was being serious.
No, you
I like the young players on defense.
Freddie.
You just fell in a pile of poo and found out.
Freddie. Yeah. Circle gets a square.
Yep.
You two fat circles, shut up and let me have my glory.
I wish he was being serious, too.
I was being serious.
No,
that's
you
what
you were just being argumentative.
No, I wasn't.
You didn't really believe
I didn't
it.
Mean to be argumentative.
Kelly writes in, Floyd isn't playing on Sunday, or at least it's doubtful.
Malcolm?
That would be big. If Floyd isn't playing and Gates is banged up.
Why was that below the fold under the Gates injury?
Or was that Nene? One of them had a hamstring.
It's okay. Well, Patrick Creighton has come on.
You know, if
again, this is not about any individual players. I know that's what everybody is thinking about.
Well, I mean, if Gates and Floyd are out,
if San Diego plays the way they've played in the first six games, I don't care who's playing. The Patriots will win.
No, but I would argue they can't play the way they want to play if Floyd and Gates are out. I don't think they're the same team.
TG writes in, everyone is getting their opinion in on the headshots, the league, offices, the media, the fans. But what do the players say about it? What do the guys who are getting hit and doing the hitting say the solution should be? I'm concerned that the people who don't play the game are the ones making the rules. For the sake of the product, the game itself may be compromised. What say you, O men of football?
Wait a minute. I thought it was Art Shell and somebody else.
A couple guys have commented. Heath Evans is worried about what he called the integrity of the game. And
what does that mean?
I saw Ryan Clark had a tweet that I actually thought was interesting, because you would think he's one of those guys, little missile. We remember the hit that he had on Welker. But he brought up an interesting side. He said the NFL wants to curtail these hits. I'm paraphrasing. And they're worried about player safety, but yet they want to add two more regular season games. He didn't say that it's ridiculous. He didn't rant and rave. It's flag football, you know, like the emailer a couple of emails ago. But it is kind of contradictory to say player safety is our number one concern. Let's play more games.
Well, I think they would argue play within the rules
right.
And it's safer.
Right. Right. Yeah, I hear what he's saying, but it doesn't.
He tried to make it
a
negotiating tool within a.
Bring
it into the labor side.
Paul writes in, I don't want it to get as bad as the NBA where a fist pump gets you ejected, but if the helmet-to-helmet hit is bad enough, the player should be first ejected from the game, then suspended for the next game or games, depending if there are any injuries. Well, if you start...
You can't depend on injuries.
Yeah.
You see, the problem...
It's like that stupid hockey rule with the high stick where if you draw blood,
yeah, they look for
minutes,
the blood.
But if you don't draw blood, it's 2 minutes.
The problem with the
you get
ejection
ketchup under your glove and you're squirting a little ketchup out
is a lot of times these plays happen too fast, and you know I think the referees saw the hit and they knew it didn't pass Andy Hart's smell test on Sunday, so they throw a flag. But sometimes we know, like, you know, the Ryan Clark hit's a perfect example.
Yeah,
the one on Welker. But when we went back and looked at that, it didn't look anywhere near as bad as we all thought. It was late, and therefore a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
But in terms of an egregious, cheap hit, it really wasn't.
The first time that they eject somebody because they think it was a bad hit, and then they look at it and go, oh, you know, it wasn't so bad, then they're going to have to change the rules again, because it's better to wait after until you had time to review it and to dole out a suspension than to eject a guy in a game. Unless...
Right, there are certain situations. I don't know it. I don't want to describe it, but when I saw it, I'd say that's an ejectable offense.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You're gone.
Yep. Paul was wondering about the controversial play in the Chiefs game. Strippers, as usual, helps us out. He actually has a link to YouTube, but he also says, down 3 points, Matt Schaub hit Andre Johnson for 31-yard completion on 2nd and 10. After the catch and run out of bounds, cornerback Brandon Flowers looked around for a flag as Johnson gave him a shove while the ball was in the air. The official obliged, tossing the flag that Flowers assumed was against Johnson for pass interference. But the announcement from the referee revealed the pass interference was all on Flowers, which made the blossoming defensive back livid. Replays revealed there was absolutely no pass interference on Flowers' part. He rightly thought the play should be negated, but as he said after the game, everybody thought that.
So it should have been offensive interference?
It should have, if anything, it should have been offensive.
It was a 31-yard completion.
Yes.
It wasn't a 31-yard.
Right.
Okay, so that's not... Do you know what I mean? It's not as, like, the Jets got 49 yards because of a pass interference. It was incomplete. Now, Fred saw it, too. I mean, it was for the Jets, and Fred saw it, and he may not admit it now, but off the air,
back then, he admitted it.
Off the air, he certainly admitted that you have to call that. He caught the pass. Now, I have to see it, so if it was a blatant offensive pass interference, it should have been called. But at least he caught the pass, and they earned the yards by executing the play. Now,
cheating.
Maybe they cheated to get the play. I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah. John and Raleigh, amazing game this last Sunday. Now that we're unexpectedly 4-1, how do you guys see us finishing this year? Do you think 13-3 is possible? I didn't think so at the beginning of the season, but looking at the remaining schedule, I'm beginning to think there's a chance.
No.
Right now, I would say I'm leaning toward upping it to 11-5 from my original 10-6, because I did have Cincinnati, Baltimore, this is the first game. Cincinnati, Baltimore, I said they'll probably lose one of those. So they want them both. So right now they're a game ahead.
I still think this team, when you're this young, there are unexpected hiccups in the road.
Yeah. They might lose another
metaphors
one.
There.
Yeah, hiccups in the road. Yeah, that's
never a hiccup in the road.
That's very Paul-like.
Matt from Glasgow, Scotland. Hey, guys, love the show. Never miss it. I have a question for you guys. Do you think this season is more exciting because any team can win any game? There are no really great teams that you can say that will be a sure win. And, Fred, you should promote Kershaw's more during the Ravens game. While I was having 9 consecutive strokes in overtime, Fred was still optimistic that we would win. I'm not always. You can read the replays of those things.
In print, you're not always optimistic?
No.
Oh, I thought it was just audibly you were negative, but figured your fingers would just kind of have a mind of their own and type positive things.
No, like I said,
pretend it was an edit letter.
Even at the worst times, I was really getting upset with just one negative comment after season's over, blah, blah, blah. It was like a million Andy Harts.
But the thing that I don't understand
had faith in the defense? Is that what it was?
No.
The part that I don't understand about that is not that the game wasn't over. I thought the Patriots were going to lose. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. But I don't understand how losing that game then leads you to step 5, the season's over. When a lot of these guys are saying, you know, like the emailer just wrote in saying, well, here we are at 4-1, and I don't think a lot of people thought we were going to be 4-1. So you didn't expect to win this game, yet when you were losing it, the season's over.
Right.
That's what I don't get.
Yep.
What's the matter over there, Junior? Ace Ticket Hotline?
He's been on hold for quite a while.
Oh, okay. Eldridge from North Carolina is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Good. Sorry about making you wait. We got a lot of emails today.
That's all right, man. I'm riding. I'm listening to every one of you saying. I'm riding. Congratulations to the Pats on the win. Does offense look pretty good. Defense had me scary. Only part I got to saw was overtime because I had to stop and get something to eat.
Oh.
That's how I saw the overtime part.
Now, do you have Sirius in your truck?
No. No, I don't. No, I don't. I got my laptop streaming sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But my question is this. 2011, we got a bunch of top draft picks, right?
Yep.
What are we going to do with them if the season stops 2011? Remember, I don't think they came to agreement yet, right, the owners and the players?
Well, whether or not they have a lockout, Eldridge, the draft will be held. So even if, the owners say, you know, we're shutting things down, they will have normal football operations at that time of the year. So they will hold the draft whether or not there's a season.
Okay. And calling about the defense, I heard one of your emails. Yeah, we need they're improving some. But like I said, looked to me for a while, when they showed the replays, Flacco had a lot of time to throw the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
They're nowhere near where they need to be. It's just better than it's been over the last year and a half. When the game was on the line, they stepped up.
That's the key to me is they took the field in a lot of tough spots on Sunday. And when they had to, they really responded. It started with a 3rd-and-1 stop when the Patriots were still losing the game that they came up with. And then it just every time after that, really – the last 5 times that the Ravens got the ball, had they scored even a single point, the game would have been over, and the Patriots didn't allow them to really get close. They had that one time that they put a couple of first downs together and got around midfield, and then the Patriots came up with a stop. That's the play that you're talking about, Fred, with McCourty down the sideline on Heap. That was the only time they threatened to score on the last 4 or 5 possessions.
Okay.
And it's not like you can blame the Ravens for bad play calling. If you were calling that play, wouldn't you target McCourty against Heap at that time of the game?
Butler, too.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't have run a tight end at a cornerback. I would have done all day, and that is run a 15-yard out to a wide-open wideout. And for some reason, they stopped doing that after Mason went untouched down the sideline 20 yards to get them in that spot. I don't know why they got away from the outs that were working very effectively.
Other question is, if they bring Mankins back, to me, they're saying a misrepresentation to the locker room. Because, yeah, everybody keeps saying Moss was a problem, this and that. But on every flick I've seen, he's always leading cheers and talking. Yep, he wanted a contract because he wanted to get paid. He wanted to catch the balls instead of be a decoy. But Mankins called out the ownership.
Yep.
I mean, blasted him.
I don't think there's one of the 53 players in that locker room that would not welcome back Logan Mankins. I think he would be hugged, celebrated, let's go to war for 6 weeks.
I don't know.
The owner might not. You're right. The owner might not want him back. I have no idea. But I don't think one of the players on that team would
well,
bat an eye.
I agree with Andy. I think the owner might be unhappy about having to welcome him back.
I have no problem with that either. He calls me out personally. I'd be pissed at him.
I don't think they have any choice. You know, if he reports, he reports. But I don't think he's going to see the field, barring.
But you don't think that's wrong, though?
But Eldridge, they can't tell him you can't come to this team. They can't do that. So they have to let him in. But they don't have to let him play.
If they're making the best interest decisions in the interest of the football team, they should.
Well, I mean, unless offensive line is a problem, really?
It's certainly not a strength.
Well, I don't know.
Brady got sacked, what, twice Sunday?
Yes.
Why are you inviting him on the show?
No, three times, I believe.
What are you doing?
Sunday.
Yeah. Three times?
He's up to eight on the season.
It's back to 2001.
Okay, eight on the season.
All right, Eldridge.
All right, thank you.
Safe driving.
Keep on Eldridge trucking.
From North Carolina. Hey.
Thanks, Eldridge.
We have an old guest here. Well, not.
Radios across America.
Brian Murray
now.
Is joining us.
According to the PFW in Progress website, I'm a Nazi or something.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. I saw something on the message boards.
Nazi's
something.
A bit strong.
Yeah, even I wouldn't go there.
So, Brian, does a win like this help the Hall?
It's never funny.
Super Bowl, Fred. We're going to the Super Bowl.
No, but I'm talking
about the best team in football.
Attendance at the Hall of Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
Well, we had 197 people come through in the first hour after the game.
That's
so people
good.
Were in a good mood.
That's
they
good.
Were drunk.
Coming to see the Hall.
That's great.
They don't want to sit in traffic.
They thought PFW was taping that day.
Now you were off the ledge a couple weeks ago. You thought the season was over, right?
Well, he doesn't even have a ledge to stand on because he betted on Miami,
really?
If you recall.
Oh, listen. No. That was just an objective look at the game. I mean, did I know the Patriots would block two kicks and return a interception and a kickoff for a touchdown? No. I thought going on the road, they would lose that game.
Who are you picking this week?
I haven't decided yet. I think the way San Diego's playing, they've beaten Arizona and they've beaten Jacksonville.
They haven't they've played six bad teams and they've
and they're two and four. So I would have to say I would have to lean toward New England here.
I would too. That's why I was
big surprise.
I was trying to give you the heads up. Luckily you picked the right one.
Go yourself,
he's going to be mad.
Diego.
Well, I did. I don't understand it. Hey,
you said
I don't understand it.
I don't read the paper. I don't read the paper, but I was skimming PFW, and I did notice that.
Thanks, Steve Israel.
That you, Andy, and Eric all picked. So now they can put it up in the cafeteria again and say literally that all the guys from the team newspaper picked against them.
I can understand
them.
If one of them did or two of them did, but all three pick against.
Flip pick the charges too.
Oh, we did.
You know, I'm not mad. I just didn't understand.
I'm not mad.
You don't understand.
I was surprised.
Disappointed.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean,
even disappointed.
I'll tell you who I'm disappointed in. It's San Diego. Losing to St. Louis and Oakland for crying out loud.
And that's the way I look at it is.
They're desperate.
But they may not be what we thought they were. Okay. And we'll find out in a couple more weeks. If they're 2-6, then maybe you'll look back and say, well, yeah, Fred was right. That was a foolish pick. I think they're better than that. I look at the team, and I think it's a better team.
Parcells said you are what you are.
Yeah, they're 2-4.
No, but I worry about their passing game. I mean, I don't know what the status of Gates is for this week, but I do worry about their passing game.
We get reports that Floyd may not play either.
Yeah, he's got a hammy. Yeah.
If those two guys don't play, I feel a lot better about the Patriots winning.
Well, I mean, listen, I was very, very, very encouraged and excited about their defense in the fourth quarter and overtime. Every time the Patriots didn't score, I said, okay, you know, how many times can the Patriots defense actually stop them?
You have faith like I did.
And they
times.
Did. Well, obviously I don't have that kind of faith, boy. But they did, and I was impressed by that. I was excited about
yes,
that.
Yes, I did. Why does no one believe me?
Because I got to tell you something.
He plays a good boob on the radio.
I was listening to Troy Brown talk a couple
boobs.
Weeks ago about some of these guys on defense, and he said, you know, I watch these guys, and with a lot of them, they have the ability, and a lot of it is just playing with the right level of confidence. And if this team can snowball some of that, maybe we'll start to see a little bit better play on defense. I mean, I don't, because they beat Baltimore and played a good defensive game for the most part, you know, it doesn't mean that their defensive concerns go out the window, but I was encouraged by what I saw. I think that's a good thing.
Why are you here?
I had a meeting down in security, and I thought I'd stop by.
I told him, if you're in the area, stop by.
Why did you
don't
tell
ever
him
say
that
again?
Don't ever do that again.
He wanted to add some levity to the show.
Stay here.
No.
Tyler,
then I'll go do SBFW.
I think you need a break. Didn't he give you the break sign?
No, he said, who the bleeper is this guy, actually?
Oh. Tyler in Oregon says, I've never sent an email in, though. I've been listening for a couple years, so I don't know the correct format. This is fine the way you're doing it, Tyler.
Format. You open up an email new, radio.
Andy and Paul.
Sure. I have to bring up this point. I think, send out templates
in BFW.
Yeah, seriously. Tyler says, I have to bring this point up. I think most everyone agree on. What team has the better of these positions, head coach and quarterback? The two most important people in the field, bar none. Patriots are clearly better at both these positions. This is where I have to give the tip to the Patriots. Well, there's no doubt about it.
There isn't. I agree.
Yeah, but it takes more than two people to win a football game.
Better coach and the
otherwise, you'd never
the
lose.
Super Bowl, and
Teddy Bruschi would be very upset at you for saying that.
Yeah, he would chastise you openly.
I mean, it takes 53 guys, right? The Miami game, it certainly wasn't the coach and the quarterback that won it. It
takes a village to win a football game.
Let's see. This emailer says, you guys suck. The only reason to pick San Diego is because they're desperate. You are what your record says you are. They are a 2-4 team.
I agree.
And certainly capable of being beaten by the Pats. To think otherwise is stupid.
Did we say there was no chance?
Exactly. And I said 17 times, if the Chargers continue to play the way they've played, they will lose.
So on a 50-50 scale, you would always go with the opposite team?
I don't think it's 50-50. I think the Chargers have more talent. Now, if they continue to play bad football like they have, they will lose.
My question to the PFW think tank is, why isn't this defense allowed time to grow and gel together? Why would anyone think that a unit with this much youth and inexperience is expected to be a solid unit 5 weeks into a season?
Likes the word unit.
Cunningham showed flashes of pass rush as soon as he stepped on the field. So why is it outrageous to think that he can be that pass rushing outside linebacker that this team sorely needs?
Show me the tape.
We jumped all over Spikes for chasing plays. Shouldn't he be expected from a rookie inside linebacker? If he is chasing plays in December, January, and next season, then we have a problem. If you can't see that McCourty has talent to be a very solid cover corner, then I have no idea what you're looking at. He's already better than Ellis Hollywood Hobbs, who, by the way, is starting for the Eagles.
Yeah, what did you write about Butler last year?
I can't understand.
Who's this? What's this guy's name?
I can't understand what we expected from such a young defense 5 weeks into the season. But lo and behold, they're still 4-1, which means they are way ahead of schedule, and Belichick is still the best coach in football.
That's the only part of the email I agree with.
Yeah, who was that?
A guy.
Just a guy.
Pepe Le Douche.
No.
We have breaking roster news.
Oh, what's the news?
No, they signed Ross Ventrone.
Ross Ventrone back on the team.
And also,
from Villanova?
Wait, to the practice squad or to the team?
Practice squad. And also, during the conference calls, I guess Bill O'Brien did not dispute a dust-up with Randy Moss in the locker room.
He didn't dispute it. So he was.
He said in direct quote, "I've been coaching for upwards of 20 years." When asked about Mike Reese's report, his response was, "I've been coaching for upwards of 20 years. We coach and players have input. Things like that are going to happen." That was the quote.
Sure,
I agree.
Yeah, but we're moving on from.
I would say that's more than not disputing it.
By the way, just on the Logan Mankins thing,
validating it.
I'd say that's confirming.
I agree with Andy. By the way, I think if he comes back when he's ready to play, they're going to play him. If he's the best guy on the.
We all do, except for Fred.
Oh, you think they're not going to play him?
I think barring injury or poor play at that spot, they'll keep things as they are.
I think he's shown in the past anyway, which, as we know, does not indicate that we know what he's going to do in the future. But I think in the past, he's played guys when they've come back like that, whether it be Terry Glenn.
Ty Law.
I mean, I think if he determines Logan Mankins is ready to play and he gives them a better chance to win, he'll play.
Yeah, I think that's the only
He separates business and football as
the
well as anybody.
The only one is to me is if he gets if he's ready to play. That's
but if,
the
right.
only,
if they're the already criteria, winning, criteria. If they're continuing to win,
I don't understand what that point. Wouldn't you look to upgrade any spot if you could?
I just think I'm looking at the best interest of the team.
Right. So you want your best players playing,
but the players want the best players playing.
With the guys on the field.
I mean, I think you might hurt somebody's feelings, but I think
I'm
most guys
about
don't.
That.
I think Dan Conley knows he's keeping the seat warm for Logan Mankins.
Yeah, I'm not
Mankins.
Worried about hurting anyone's feelings.
Listen, he may not be ready. And when he comes, if he wants to come in 10 weeks in, he might
I would
not
guess
be ready
he won't
to
be
play.
Ready.
He might
but
not
a couple weeks
play.
In, he might be.
He'll be farm strong.
But my point, I mean, you could say that about any position on the field. Yeah, they're 4-1, so should we not make any changes?
I think he thinks, Bill, this is Belichick, that he has a very interesting and good chemistry right now on the team.
Then why does he continue to juggle the lineup?
Did he have a good chemistry 2 weeks ago? Or is it, well, when they were 3-1?
Right? I mean,
I think they were worried about that, and that's why.
But haven't
that's
they
one of the reasons why they got rid of Moss.
But haven't they constantly changed the lineup?
That has nothing to do with,
but
you
he's
know.
He's searching for the right combination.
Bringing in a guy
what
who
could make
didn't
him the best
be
team.
Yeah. Well,
that's all he's doing.
Okay. I mean, I could be wrong.
I mean, some of it's game plan related, yes, but he's searching for the best players.
Sure.
And to say that Mankins isn't one of the best, provided he's physically ready to go.
But, you know, when a guy like Welker comes out and says, you know, we have a sign in here that says, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be. I think that's part of the messaging.
It's nothing to
this
do
year.
With Mankins
well,
at all.
He doesn't want to be here.
Well, no, he does want to be here.
The only reason he's going to be here is to get the accrued season. That's it.
No, it's business. It's business and football. Separate the two. Right. You have to be able to
that's
do
why
that,
Deion Branch is here.
We did separate the two. We separated ourselves from Randy Moss because it was all business.
Because his business crossed over into football.
Right, exactly. And Mankins hasn't?
No.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
So he's sitting out because it's all about football?
It's about
it's
business.
Exactly. So it's
so
affected.
It hasn't.
No.
So it hasn't crossed
if he walks
football.
In and says, I just have to be here. They made me because the stupid rules of CBA, but this place is HS.
He could have also handled.
Now listen.
That's crossing over. Now he's
could have also handled his business the way other guys do when they're
Fred.
Under contract.
No, see, here's the, but you're missing.
Wait a minute, he's not under contract. He did check leave. The contract. It lacks a signature. He's not under contract.
I know
that,
what you're saying.
He has that look on his face. Where, all right,
don't they get mad?
Well, that's what we do. We get mad. I always
you have
like
to.
It. I always like it. When
Brian,
I'm not
how
the one
long have you been
though.
Off this show?
I'm not the one getting mad, though, so I like it.
He is not under contract.
I know. You're right.
And
he
I
should
think,
be.
But he has separated the football. The thing
he
that
should be.
The concern of Moss was, if he doesn't get his contract, is that going to affect his football? Now, if Mankins comes back in Week 10 and says, you know what, I only came back to get the accrued season, I could care less.
Calls a press conference where
guys.
He rambles for 20 minutes.
Right.
And
now, that affects football. Now, I don't want to play him. I don't think that will happen with Logan Mankins. Maybe it will. Maybe you're right.
And I'd like to get back to my original
Then I put
point.
Him on injured reserve.
If you
right.
had a
do
poll
something.
About do you want Randy Moss on your team, I think you would get no votes in the locker room of the 53. I don't know the percentage. I think you'd get no votes. I think if you had a poll that do you want Logan Mankins,
Brady
it would 53-0 will take Logan Mankins.
Okay. David Northpark.
No, I said I think it would be split. I think some people would say I still want Moss on my team.
Brian Hoyer would say, yeah, he makes my completion percentage better in practice.
David Northpark, despite some miscues.
Why is Moss running
offense,
on the scout team?
Shut up.
Sorry.
This is why we don't have you on the show anymore.
Despite Brian Hoyer is
Mr.
the backup.
Literal.
He gets some real reps, you know.
Mr. Literal.
Despite some miscues on offense, I was well pleased with this victory.
Hmm.
The team encountered a heavyweight bout with the Ravens and came through by coming from 10 points back in the fourth quarter. That goes a long way for the attitude, belief of the team. That's something we really haven't talked about is, you know, all of a sudden the second half and coming from behind, you know, before they couldn't even hold the lead. Now they're coming from 10 points behind against a good defensive team. You know, that was a problem, you know,
I agree.
A few weeks ago. You know,
you really do buy everything Bill says, don't you?
That's nobody believed in us. That's not a problem.
No one thought we could do it.
Yeah,
second
it is
half.
What it is.
No one thought it.
Fred, I agree with you.
I don't understand. What is
does
wrong
one
with that?
Make a trend?
No, but they
no.
did.
Just asking if one makes a trend.
Oh, listen, as Brian Cox told me one day, one
terrific,
week has nothing to do with the next.
It was a terrific win. Can
but,
we just
but,
call
but
it that?
But that said,
no,
for
it's
a
the best
team,
win ever.
For a team that I think you know, Paul, you know how it is. You start to do that stuff all the time.
And I agree. If they start to do that stuff all the time, then it's meaningful.
No, what I'm saying is,
but showing the ability to be able to do it.
When you don't do it, and you don't do it week after week, doubts start to creep in when stuff begins to go wrong.
We're not allowed to do that, though, because we get chastised for it.
No, but what I'm saying,
doubt does start to creep
in. I'm saying on the field.
We had,
I'm saying the players. The players start to doubt. So a win like last week was important.
It was a great win. It was a great win in every way that you could possibly define.
And the Miami win was a good win.
Okay, but don't.
It was a great win.
Let's not equate this win with the failures to hold on to second half leads, which happened all year last year.
Well, it was second half collapses.
Yeah, when we had the lead,
including one earlier this year in New
York.
We
had the lead in every one of them. And that's a whole different thing, whole different animal, that as to what happened on Sunday. And then the coach has to get up there with his smug little look on his face and chastise everybody.
No one thought
we could do it. Who said you couldn't do it?
A lot of people.
Who said Tom Brady can't come from behind?
He was talking.
Show me the guy who says that.
Oh, Paul, come on. A lot of people were saying that this team is not a second half team anymore. They're not making the proper adjustments. You know, that was all a part of it.
I agree.
This wasn't the same thing. This did not have anything to do with
that. But it was a second half performance.
It wasn't the same thing.
Oh. It was a comeback.
Thank you.
So what?
But it was a whole different way of playing
football.
It
happened in the second half.
This wasn't about adjustments. This was a comeback.
You don't think the defense made any adjustments?
No. Did you listen to Belichick talk about that? No.
Oh, so you believe him there? It's okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, so
I believe he meant what he said about the other thing, too.
But
no one thought we could do it. I believe that he thinks that no one thought, even though everybody picked him to win.
And I'm the fast talker.
I've read consistently that this team is the struggles in the second half have been their undoing. Regardless of whether you're ahead or behind, they have had second half struggles. It's a different dynamic.
It's a whole different thing. Number one, number two.
But isn't it easier to play from ahead?
It was one game.
Well, they're also behind in Miami, right?
Right. Well, 7-6.
Come on.
But still.
Before they even took the field for the first time, they had the lead in the second half.
Okay, fair enough. But I think you're still looking at their focus has been last year, they were terrible in the second half. Regardless of what the score was at halftime, they were terrible in the second half. When was the last time we had a comeback like this? I'm asking honestly. I don't remember.
Well, weren't they beating the Jets?
I don't know. Last year?
I'm guessing
the Buffalo game opening was definitely one.
Right, opening day. So opening day last year was the last time
I don't know.
We had a comeback, and that was against a team that finished 4-12. I don't know what they finished.
Yeah,
I don't cover the sport anymore, but
I just don't think I don't think there's any correlation between what they did Sunday and the failures that they've had in the past. I don't think it was anywhere near the same situation.
I think it's a team that needs to develop confidence in the second half. And I think the last two games have helped do that. Now we'll see how it goes. They haven't solved their problems. I don't think we're saying they've solved their problems.
I'm not talking about solving problems.
If they can build confidence,
I think a lot... Who said they couldn't come from behind? Who is claiming that?
About Brady?
Brady can't come from behind.
What about all those stats that came out 2 weeks ago?
That's
about
protecting
his,
leads.
I'm not really into solving the world.
Protecting leads.
No, it was all about his
protecting leads.
His quarterback rating in the fourth quarter.
Yes, protecting leads.
Well, Paul, then the other side of that would be, listen, we all know that Bill is going to manipulate things to get use it as motivation for his football team, and I think that's one of them. He's not going in there and saying, listen, we're failing protecting leads. He's saying we're failing in the second half. We're not playing 60 minutes. So to come out and do it and play well in the second half, whether it's from behind or ahead, protecting a lead or rallying from behind to win a game, I think that's what his message is probably in the locker room. So he's going to echo that message publicly.
And clearly the message, a part of the message is no one believes in us.
But you're missing the whole point of what I said, which started this
whole
thing. Do you really buy that from him? I don't care what Bill tells the players. That's up to Bill.
You're making
but
my point.
You don't have to believe in it.
Well, no, but I think that...
I mean, just sit there and say, oh, yeah, right.
I don't think it's
smug. A lot of people questioning Tom Brady's ability to come from behind. He's only done it 40 times in his career, but I'm not sure he can do it.
I've heard the radio. I think people have said this is not the same Tom Brady.
I don't...
I have heard that.
I don't agree with that.
I have heard it.
I don't know where you're getting
what, it. What I do believe is that...
Not on the big they, show, if, but I've heard
everyone sucks with they, them.
If not they, on any show, because no, they're I have. All completely in love with the Patriots.
Tony Maserati, I've heard it.
They need to get this confidence level rolling and building. I think that's what made... You know, you go back to 01, when they were sixth in the league in red zone defense. They gave up... They were 24th in yards allowed. 24th. Everyone thought the defense was so great. But they were great because they
great
survived in the red zone. And that's a fragile existence. That's like leaving guys on second and third every inning. You know, that's a fragile existence. But it worked for them, and they carried it through. I think that team got to a point where when they were in the red zone, they believed you weren't scoring. This team is with this group and last year's group, and even before that, I think has lost some of that. They lost, I hate the word swagger, but they lost that swagger. They lost that confidence.
Plus, they're getting better.
Maybe it's maybe they can start to rebuild that, yeah. And that's a big part of playing defense.
I don't really understand any of that. Because
you were pouring your soda.
Well, I mean, the 2001 Patriots defense was outstanding. I don't care what yards they allowed. They didn't allow any points.
Because they were great in the red zone.
270 points. They were great more than just the red zone.
Yeah, I know.
They only allowed 270
well,
points.
Their quote-unquote
well,
rank was 24.
Or 2 years
32.
Ago, they were...
Not a points allowed, they weren't. They were fourth, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know where they were.
I mean, that's what you judge
it
by.
But they were great in the red zone.
But why did we say 2 years ago, well, all these people are saying they were number five in points allowed. That's deceiving.
Right.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
They were.
They were fifth in the league
fifth
in points,
league
allowed,
points allowed
2 years ago?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, last year.
Maybe it was last year, but we said that was deceiving.
Well, I think it was deceiving because I think you had two games that totally skewed the stats.
Tampa, Tennessee.
Tampa and Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Everybody else scored at will on them.
At will?
Yeah. Well, I know that you block out the games that the
no,
six games they lost.
I'm just saying, I don't think that.
Do you know we lost to Houston the last game of the season last year? Fred didn't.
No, I
38-28.
I think the defense has been on a decline since 06.
Since 06, I think since 04.
Well, yeah, it has.
You know,
but it got old.
Whatever the reason.
I mean, now it's in transition.
Yeah,
I agree, and it's the Andy point that he doesn't really believe in, but he just spouts.
I hate you all.
They do have a lot of young guys that, I mean, I don't know how you cannot expect them to improve. Now, the question that I would have is, do they improve to the level where they're good enough? I have my doubts about that. But, listen, how you could rationally expect them not to get better from where they start to where they end in the season? How
Eugene
can that
Wilson.
Be?
Well, a lot of teams don't get better.
But it's how much you get better relative to everybody
players.
Else.
Easy, Bill.
Exactly.
Well, that's true, though.
Exactly.
I mean, if everybody improves at the same pace, you're in the same place you were at the start of the season.
But that's what we don't know. Will the improvement be good enough to do what they did on Sunday consistently against good teams?
Plus, luckily, no one across the league is improving from what I've seen.
The league stinks.
Poopy football.
And that said, I think the... A lot of people said last week that this was the best team in football, Baltimore, and that was
a lot. And I said a lot of people are still saying that.
It was a great win.
Paul.
Pittsburgh right now would have to be ahead.
I don't think I thought Baltimore was the best team in football going into
the Jets. Oh yeah, the Jets.
We dubbed Pittsburgh just because I like Mendenhall.
I've been impressed with the Jets. I have to say,
yeah,
me too.
That was a good win. That was a good win they had.
I mean, we all
yeah, nice 46-yard pass interference call.
That's what happens when
you
pull a guy down by the face.
It's all about Mark Sanchez.
You're
going to
get that flag usually.
I'm just saying, I hate that call that swings the game. 46-yard penalty. You know how I feel about that.
You did see it, right?
I didn't.
Because if he doesn't do it, it's a touchdown. The ball was in.
I just don't agree with the spot foul.
As he's getting torn to the ground.
Then why did I read everywhere that it was a controversial call?
Because that's what Josh McDaniel said after the game. It's one of the reasons
why
I took a rocket shot.
He had his hand in the guy's helmet.
All I'm saying is...
Just think about the...
He had his
think about the magnitude of that statement.
Okay.
Fred Kirsch.
I didn't see it. I just read that it was a debatable call.
He pulled him down by the face mask.
Not even close to
it was a rare face mask on a pass.
Even Rex Ryan said, well, it may or may not be a penalty, but we'll take it.
He had his hand in his helmet.
Yeah, when Rex Ryan said that, he probably hadn't seen the replay yet.
Yeah.
Nor have I.
Anyway, we didn't finish David
Northpark. That's classic Brian Morey right
there. I read that it was a debatable call.
I didn't see it.
I read it.
It was not debatable. David Northpark, even I'm saying.
It's like I haven't even seen the hit that what's his name had the other day, Merriweather.
Oh.
Do you even go to the game?
No, I saw it live, but I was sitting up in the nosebleed seats.
It was dirty live.
Yeah, but I was so high from behind.
Press box?
I couldn't tell. No, I was above the press box.
No, I know. We're in the press box. We don't have the view.
But you got to look at the replay. I didn't. I couldn't tell whether he...
Now who's talking about?
He did.
I think sometimes... No, I know he did. But I think sometimes the difference between those calls being made, and I'm not talking about specifically that one, and not being made, is whether the guy catches the ball or not. You know, I mean, was Brian Cox on Jerome Payton a defenseless receiver?
Patriots history.
But was it a defenseless receiver?
This has nothing to do with defenseless receivers. You can't intentionally hit a guy with your head.
I understand.
Anywhere.
That.
If he's defenseless or if he's seeing you coming or whatever. This was a cheap
shot. He gave
him
a headbutt.
He headbutted him on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Branch, this is still David Northbrook. Branch picked up where he left off. This should open up the passing game to the whole receiving core as well as create opportunities for the running game. It almost seemed, and may well have been, that Branch created more problems for the opposing defenses than Moss did, at least of late. There were some very open receivers in this game. Silence.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think the impact, the play.
Should we then say that Brady had a bad game then?
The plays
because if he had so many open receivers, why didn't we score any points?
The plays that Deion Branch made, I thought the pass protection was excellent on. They took some time to develop. The touchdown was obviously a kind of a scramble type play. But some of those in cuts over the middle, 20 yards downfield, he had great protection. And Welker, I think, had the quietest seven catches I've ever seen Welker have. He had seven catches. I would have guessed he had three.
No, I mean, they were all meaningful, I thought.
Welker's?
Yeah.
Welker did next to nothing in that game.
Well,
here's where Paul says he hasn't had a meaningful catch in three seasons.
Paul
is very predictable.
Look, that's not true. Welker had one big catch down the slot in that game.
When you're playing the Ravens, any positive offensive play is meaningful, I think. You know, he moved the chains.
So if you throw a wide receiver screen and get a yard, that's meaningful?
No.
Because that's what they did with Welker about three times in that
he
game.
He moved the chains.
And Branch had about three of those, too.
Yeah.
If Andy said it right on the TV show,
the Patriots were using the passing
for a lot
game
of that game.
They were trying to get to the edge of the defense.
Absolutely,
and even their good runs with little Woody were to the edge of the defense.
They were trying to get it. Those were running plays.
But Fred,
three quarters of that game.
If that had ended, people would have said, "Ooh, the post-Moss offense is not good."
Listen, if they got the quarterback sneak, we'd be saying that. If the Ravens got the quarterback sneak and ran the clock out, everybody would say, "Uh-oh, this is worse than I thought."
Instead, we know the defense was going to get better. We had confidence all along.
Tony and Greenwich.
Except I stood alone when I said last week,
and that's why my game ball went to the defense. The defense won the game
to me.
I agree with
you,
Paul, 100%.
Tony and Greenwich, Connecticut, says, "I can't believe that you guys are on the payroll. Listen, no one wants a homer, but at least a level of coherency is needed. This team was not a second half team in any regard last year. They came back from 10 down against one of the best teams in the NFL, and there's no correlation? Are you nuts? Regardless of the circumstances, whether it's coming from behind or holding on to a lead, they have shown marked improvement in their ability to make plays in the second half. Any fool can see that." So there you go.
So they've
shown, Tony in Greenwich, Connecticut.
So one game is a marked shows a marked improvement.
I think second half in Miami was good, too.
Why?
Bill earlier this year said you can't count on blocked kicks and kick returns every week as part of your game plan.
Rob says Brian
needs the game plan better then.
Rob from Ottawa says Brian should be on PFW Progress anytime he wants. He does a good job at chaining up Paul.
Good. He can.
That's true because I've had these arguments with him too many times.
At least he didn't swear at me.
Yet. You've only been here 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're already on my nerves.
You even got Andy mad.
Oh. Andy Hart mad.
I'm not mad.
I'm glad Paul's laughing because he looks like he's about to kill Brian.
He's been here for 10 minutes and my blood pressure is already up.
I think that's why Fred wanted me to come in.
Don't make Fred laugh. Look how ready he's going to die.
He said, come on, it'll be good. Come on, Andy.
You just missed the Merriweather one.
I did want to point out Percy
Harvin
was on First Take and wanted to let everyone know that Randy Moss gave a motivational speech at halftime of the Cowboys.
Oh, they talked about that, yeah.
Baloney.
Why is that, oh, God?
The last game he was here, he did led the post game. Oh, yeah.
The last game he was here, that was.
Jordan in London.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Jordan in London says, I think everyone agrees our defense improved at the end of the Ravens game. Do you think this could be a turning point for them and the performance on Sunday will become the norm for the rest of the season? Or can we expect ups and downs all season like most young players and that our defense's performance will show this?
Yes.
I think it's more the latter.
That's the safe answer.
Ups and downs. Hopefully the ups become higher and the downs become not so low, and you kind of keep
That's kind of how I look at it.
And listen, I think if the biggest thing, forget fourth quarter and overtime, you're not in that situation if they convert touchdowns. I mean, Eugene Chung had a great hit on the goal line to separate the receiver from the ball. What? It wasn't a good hit.
And the Warrens really combined to stop somebody. What are you laughing at, Warrens?
Rodney Mayo.
Gerard Mayo with two R.
You were just kidding.
The
Warrens. Oh, I said Eugene?
Yeah. He wasn't kidding.
Patrick Chung.
They don't like this show.
Patrick Chung. You know what I meant.
You know, never heard of Eugene Chung? You're an idiot.
He's like 18 years old. I mean, cut him a break.
It's okay that he never heard of anything that happened before 1985.
You name a first-round pick that I haven't heard of. Was he a first-round pick?
I think
first round, the 13th pick in the draft, wasn't he? Or was that
Pat
Harwood?
You haven't heard of.
No, you probably were
early 90s.
Yeah, I was like five.
So,
Ray Agnew.
Sean says, "Wow, Paul is wrong about every topic today."
I agree.
Wow,
Ray Agnew.
Every topic.
I've heard of him.
Okay. Every topic.
Isn't that the pick they traded to St. Louis?
Pat Harlow.
Yeah, I've heard. I just said Pat Harlow.
Oh, sorry.
My point.
Chris Singleton. Chris Singleton.
Yes, name somebody in the 70s. I've heard of first round picks. They're first round picks.
Reggie Dupart?
Yes. He wasn't Horace a first Ivory. Round pick, was he?
Yeah.
Reggie Dupart was. Yes, Horace Ivory.
I don't think he was a first round pick.
Horace
Ivory. Doesn't matter.
1 yard Dupart.
The point is, you should know the names of first round picks because they were either Trevor decent Manage. Players. Yes.
Well, he could say yes to anybody.
No, but I've heard of all the names. You either know them because they were good or you know them because they sucked.
Eddie Hare.
Eddie Hare was a first-round pick. I've never heard that name before in my life.
Son of Fred Dreyer.
He button-hooked me. I thought he was going to go, yes!
Is that a real player?
Yeah, Eddie but Hare? He wasn't a first-round pick. He was a punter.
Fred Dreyer.
70s punter. Eddie Hare from Tulsa.
Fred Dreyer was a TV guy, right?
Yes.
Hunter.
Hunter. Yeah.
For hire.
Let's see.
That was Spencer.
Dan writes in.
I know.
He says, great show. I'm concerned about the proposed rule. On the it's not a new rule, right?
No,
the
nothing
helmet,
is new.
The helmet,
just no,
it's
the kind, penalty.
It's kind of like the illegal contact.
It's right. Not even new. It's
you know, the
I don't
rules
really understand
changed.
What they announced. Yeah.
They didn't change anything.
They haven't announced anything until.
Well, they're
going
to suspend guys. That's
no,
the thing.
They suspended Eric Smith, as Paul pointed out.
A couple years ago, Eric Smith got suspended, and
what's
and I'm
different about it?
Why?
And didn't Rodney get suspended?
Not for that.
Oh,
did
I
he?
Thought he did.
Oh, maybe in San Diego, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought he had a one game. Maybe that was spitting. Did he spit?
No.
Come on, Rodney wouldn't do that.
My guy?
Anyway.
Because there's some lines he'll cross, but others he won't.
HGH, maybe.
I mean, Jesus.
No spitting.
Anyway, hey. Dan says, imagine what the 2000-2010 dynasty era would have been with Rodney Harrison missing 20-30% of games due to aggressive play.
But Rodney Harrison's own point would be he wouldn't miss
he
would change his play.
Right.
He wouldn't put the forearm in the guy's throat every single
play. Plus, now we have these guys getting suspended to the point where they're going to be missing 20-30% of the games.
Right. Why not fine the player a full game salary instead if they end up playing a season where they don't get paid for 30% of it? I'm betting that would change things enough without keeping the league's elite hitters away from the game.
Well, Rodney Harrison himself said the money doesn't matter.
I agree that I think, and also the CBA has limits on to how much they can fine.
The money doesn't matter. No. Rodney said it.
Well,
either
it would
way.
Matter if it was.
Didn't matter to him.
Yeah.
You're losing the money, too. When you get suspended, you lose your game check.
True. Why? I agree that punishment should be stepped up, but not in a way where it will hurt the sport. What would the Ravens be with Ray Lewis missing 30% of the games? The Baltimore fans would likely blame Brady for it.
What hit did Ray Lewis have that he would get suspended
He barely
for?
Touched him. That's why there was a controversy when
on,
the flag
On a side
flew.
Note, I'm from Baltimore originally, so many of my friends on Facebook are from that town. Unbelievable hatred for Brady and the Patriots from them. It's like Ray Lewis manifestos have brainwashed them.
Well, I was in San Diego last week. And
for what?
A conference for sports museums.
Did you get any?
And,
Control-Alt-Geek?
And the... Control Alt Geek, is that what you just said? The San Diego people hate the Patriots equally as much as the Baltimore people.
Well, they should.
Everybody hates the Patriots.
And that's
Go
fine.
Yourself,
I went to the
San
eye doctor
Diego.
Yesterday and he was grilling me about the coach cheats and he's a jerk.
They
My
hate
eye
a,
doctor,
they
I'm
hate,
in New England.
They hate us. I don't
I think
see,
you need a new eye doctor.
I don't see where he's coming from. They hate us because we're good. Tracy in Vegas says...
That was an eye doctor joke you guys missed.
Paul and Andy, I find it interesting that you're so sure that every other team will fix their shortcomings before playing the Pats, But when the Pats have a good game, you call it a fluke.
I didn't call it
a
fluke.
San Diego lost to crappy teams, but you're optimistic that they'll find their way.
No, wait a minute. Pats... Stop for a second. Okay. I did not call the Patriots' win on Sunday a fluke. I predicted them to win the game.
You did dispute it as a market.
That's just because you caught heat the week before for picking Miami.
And I predicted them to win the game, by the way, in a manner in which
all this negativity
pretty much they went out and won it.
Sucks.
The only thing that was a little bit surprising to me was the way they played defense down the stretch. That was outstanding. Yeah. And I wasn't anticipating that being the reason. I thought the Patriots' offense would be better earlier in the game and have the lead, and they would win the game. But
no, if they had the lead, they would have lost it in the second half.
That was
half.
Not a fluky win. I didn't say that was a fluke.
The Pats have risen to the occasion in every game except against the Jets, of course. But every week you say that the players still suck and they're going to lose.
They rose to the occasion against the
every
Bills.
Every week we say they're going to lose.
Did also, they really rise to the occasion against the Bills? Can we be honest about that victory?
But I really think that Bill does have everybody convinced that this is what we all think they're going to lose every game.
These are the same people that were jumping off the ledge last week.
Also, I haven't heard anyone give Bill credit for removing Merriweather from the game. If more coaches police their players, maybe we wouldn't have this problem with dirty hits.
I do give him credit
back
for
to the 40s,
yanking
Paul.
Him immediately.
See, I think he got removed for performance.
Hey, I
got
to go.
Thank God.
Thank you.
I know. Let me give a little plug, though. We got on Friday a exhibit called A Wild Ride, the
Did
story of the 1985 Patriots.
The James
Did you send
Gang?
That stuff yet?
I haven't sent it yet.
It's not going to get
the most offensive
The James Gang.
Team.
Yes,
I saw the poster today being set up.
Yeah, it's up there. But
I missed the cheerleaders, but.
You missed the cheerleader exhibit?
Well, that's where it used to be, and there were hot women on the
Oh,
TV
you went
screen.
There. You saw the cheerleader
oh,
exhibit.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I shoot a segment for my TV show.
Oh, that's right. So, for yeah, his, that exhibit opens show. Friday. It's on the 1985 Patriots, looking back on the great memories of the three road playoff games. The Patriots became the first team to win three road playoff games to reach the
Super
Bowl.
So what's one of the features of the exhibit?
Steve Nelson's AFC Championship ring is in there.
A cool poster. The James Gang poster.
The James Gang, which is actually... Truth be told, from the 86 season. But
no freaking truth, even in museum.
It's all related.
Would you ever actually have someone's jock strap as an artifact?
Why not? Why not?
Now would you have it as a scratch?
And by the way, we still
have
some good Randy Moss stuff on display.
Okay.
His jersey and football from his 150th catch.
We saw
his mask. Yeah.
Staring at Paul.
The one-handed catches there, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's his 150th touchdown.
You know, he did put up 50 touchdowns in 52.
That's true. Down goes Brady.
Brady
is in the room.
Just fell.
Threw Brady to the ground.
He was just bitching at him about his hair.
All right, Brian. Well, thanks
guys,
for stopping in. It's 1:41, so let's take a quick
thanks
break.
Thanks for getting me argued.
Brian, we'll let Paul's blood pressure go back down, and we'll come back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize.
an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s of Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission. Statement right there. I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was the 485. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Thanks for Brian Morey for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for that, Fred. Can I,
I was thinking to myself, I can't wait for Paul's face when Brian walks in.
Can I take 30 seconds just to repeat something I just said?
Go ahead.
I don't think there was
he was going to say.
I didn't think there was anything fluky.
No, you predicted about them to win.
No, forget that. I didn't think there was anything fluky about the win. This was an excellent old-school win. This is what we wrote after the game, and the paper's not out probably for everybody yet, but there was nothing to not love about that win on Sunday. I didn't say it was fluky in any way, shape, or form. And if it came off that way, then I want to make sure that I reiterate that, because that was a great win on Sunday.
Eric
nothing
thinks
fluky,
it was fluky.
Nothing. Listen. I think Baltimore was still a very formidable team, and I would not want to see that team in the playoffs, whether it's here or in Baltimore. But there was nothing fluky about that win on Sunday.
Pretty good comeback from each. See Brady's comments yesterday about Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, talk a lot for not winning.
For beating us once in 9 years.
Yeah. Let's see. Jeff writes in, hey, fellas, including Eric even. Dear Lord, that stretch of show last Thursday from the completely failed attempt at taking a commercial break to the Chilean miners, Oprah and Dr. Phil impressions might have been a top five favorite PFW moment for me. And in appreciation of that, in the annoying Oprah voice, you're getting an over-under game!
Oh, I take it back. I thought it was going to be lunch.
Let's see. Okay, ready? Over-under. Receptions from now through the end of the regular season. Brandon Tate, 35.
Under.
Under.
35. How many games are left? 11?
11. Under.
Okay. Deion Branch, 60.
You didn't answer. I want you to answer, too.
35.
11. Carry the 2. Remainder 4.
Under. Deion Branch, 60.
Under.
Under.
Under. That would give him 69 as a patron. Hernandez, 60.
Under.
Under.
Gronkowski, 30.
Apparently they don't play him, so under. Over.
Over.
Welker, 70.
11 times 7 is 77. 66. Over.
Over.
Edelman, 25.
Under.
Under.
And
I have no rational explanation for that, but he's really not playing all that.
I have rationalization.
And he's hurt now.
When he's on the sideline, he wears a baseball cap like a backup quarterback. He has no intention of playing.
And Taylor Price won.
The things that you put
how
a lot of
how many guys you
on.
See wearing a hat that could go in the game at any minute?
Obviously, when he has a hat on, he couldn't go in the game.
That's not good for his future and his production.
I'm just saying I have no explanation for the fact that he hasn't really been.
And I'm saying I have an explanation. Part of the game. He has a hat on the sideline. He's not going to be a part of the game.
Taylor Price won. I'll say over. I'll say he'll get
over.
In.
Yeah.
I'll say he'll get in the game before the season's over.
Kabir from Columbus, Ohio. Baja
Bia Miller.
In the fourth quarter with 4 seconds remaining, why wouldn't you take your chances on a 62-yard field goal versus the Hail Mary? Either way, if he misses it, it still goes to overtime.
What if it gets blocked and they return it for a touchdown? You go home. Loser.
I think that's Bill looked at it as saying some bad things could happen there, and I think that's probably I would have.
Ingram's had bad snaps lately. Maybe he tightens up a little bit in a tough situation.
I would have tried it, Freddie. I would have tried it.
I would have, too.
I think they had as good a Hail Mary as you could get. You know, Brady got it up there in the middle of the end zone. It got batted around a couple of times, and they had a chance to get it. But I think that Bill didn't go for it because of the wind. Yeah. Not strong either way, but it was a crosswind.
Yeah.
And I think he felt, you know, you have to try to drive it through that, and now you're worried about compensating for there's a lot of things at play. I heard him talking about this yesterday.
I wonder what the odds are on a 63-yard field goal versus a Hail Mary from that distance out.
I think that you have to take the conditions into play, though.
Okay.
Like the on-field conditions, I'm saying.
Matt from Quincy, I missed the first part of the show, so this may have already come up, but I wish the NFL would sit some of these knuckleheads like Merriweather down and have them watch the video of Rutgers special teamer Eric LeGrand getting paralyzed this past weekend. I'm not saying LeGrand's hit was dirty, but he clearly led with the crown of his helmet, and he will probably never walk again. It's exactly the way Merriweather likes to tackle, and someday either he or the guy he hits is going to learn their lesson the hard way.
Yeah, I mean, we were just watching that during the commercial.
You got a bull in your neck.
You can't lead with your head. I mean, that's why it's a penalty. That's spearing.
Well,
you can't lead with your head.
Your head's in front of your body, so it's going to be in front no matter what, but you got to bull your neck. You can't lower your neck and go with the crown of your helmet.
That's what makes it spearing. You're leading with your head. If your head's up, you're not leading with your head.
Right, you're leading with your face. Right.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay, no, I hear you. With the trade deadline coming, can we trade Eric for Brian?
Oh God, no.
Well, then we'll throw in Andy as a player to be named later because I want no part.
A lot of people enjoying the visit by Brian today.
Well, you know what? That might not be a bad idea, Fred.
Oh.
You have Fred and Brian go back to the all-homer hour, you guys can. I think the fans would like that.
I don't.
They don't like Andy and I.
I think they would remember why they didn't like Brian the first time around if they listened to him for a week.
Shouldn't have lumped you in with me there. That's why they hate you.
They don't hate me. I was ahead of the curve loving the defense. Now everybody else wants to.
Except for
love
when
it.
Someone writes in and says they're going to be doing this every week. Oh, hold on now.
Well, that's what they have to do. They have to go to the ridiculous. There's some young talent that shows the ability to make some plays.
That was my point about, you know, Fred complaining about the curse words guys on Sunday. Saying, well, the season's over. Like, I didn't understand why, if they lost that game, would the season have been over?
It wasn't.
In a game that a lot of you people were expecting to lose.
Right. let's see. Bob writes in, Tom Brady has now won under his tutelage 23 regular season straight games at home, which is now two games short of Brett Favre's record of 25. The next two home games are against Minnesota and Indy, and to break it would be against the Jets. What do you think are Brady's chances to break the record? In addition, I've done research.
Zero.
Andy? Oh, I thought you were going to go, I'd say 39.
0.0.
I was looking for just a random number. 64%,
I think that's a tough stretch to win all three of those games.
Minnesota, Indy, and the Jets.
Yeah, I think that's a tough stretch.
See, now, the kind of the opposite of the Chargers thing, I don't think Minnesota's talent level is all that
their
high.
Their defense is very good.
Yeah, I don't care. They play a cover two that Brady's going to go and rip apart. Early Halloween prediction here from BFW in progress.
In addition, I have done research and found that Brady has started 67 games at home as of the Baltimore game, and that out of those since week 3 of 2001, the Patriots were leading at the half in 46 of those games. How many of those 46 games under Brady's tutelage do you think Brady has lost after leading going into the third quarter at home?
Zero.
That's correct. Answer is none. I think that record is as impressive as Tiger Woods not missing a cut in 142 tournaments. I don't know.
Fred just goes,
I don't know what Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus did and all that stuff.
I also thought
I'm not up on my PGA stats.
I also thought we were back to the team thing and we didn't care about those, you know,
stats are for losers.
Stats and records and whatnot.
That's
saying.
Why they hate you.
Just saying.
Let's see. Warren says, I think having Mankins back is always a bonus, but without game time, he should be eased back in. Look at Marcus McNeil last week and the amount of times Rivers got sacked. Don't want to break up momentum.
I didn't see that. I know he got sacked a lot of times. Was that it? Was McNeil bad? With it was coming around the left side, blind side?
I don't know.
Because that's big.
Yeah.
That's a big
distinction.
Well, the other thing is the protection has been an issue for San Diego all year.
No, I was talking about Mankins. I think it's different to play guard than left tackle.
Well,
it's a one-on-one matchup at left tackle.
It's a big difference.
Physical. Whereas inside, it's as much about power as it is quickness and speed. I think that quickness, speed, and game speed reaction at left tackle is much the same as it would be at corner or some of those other positions. I don't think it's the same at guard.
I agree.
But Fred wants him benched.
Let's see. Mozzie writes in, really, Andy, he says, you didn't see anything from Jermaine Cunningham this week?
What?
Why are people not listening
people
to us this
week? People just don't listen. I said, show me the tape from, the guy said from day one he stepped on the field here, it was obvious he was going to be a pass rush presence. That's the tape I asked for from
this
day
week,
one.
This week
had his best game. Well,
he was,
I mean, these people.
He was very good.
Get a Q-tip.
Sunday.
Rub it around on the inside. Get that wax out so you can actually hear. Do both sides. Use two if you need to. And listen.
Thanks, Andy. Now that's why they hate you.
I mean, seriously. Jermaine Cunningham, the phrase was, best game of his career.
He was outstanding Sunday, I thought. And he was a pass rush guy on Sunday. But I don't think that we've seen that very much in the first four
Fred,
games.
Fred, did you? You're the homer of all homers. Right. Did you, from day one, see this explosive pass rush presence from Jermaine Cunningham?
Not until Sunday. And even then, Sunday, I didn't see it a lot.
And I'm very objective.
But he just did the
Fred.
Thing, I think. Did you scratch with your middle finger?
Did you just flip him off?
I did not do that.
Yes, you did.
I did not do that.
Tom in Pittsburgh writes in, I haven't felt this way about a game since 2006. One where I was worn out watching, let alone playing in. Every player from Tom Brady to Dane Fletcher made a play, and it was the ultimate team win. Anyone who owns a Pats player in fantasy leagues should drop them immediately. This is the old days where everyone played a role, and a lot of it isn't going to show up in the stats. I'm sold. I've bought this ticket, and it looks like the best ride in the park. NFL replay is showing the game tonight at 8 o'clock. I can't wait to catch all the sideline talk and maybe a clarification of the scrum between Tom Brady and T. Sizzle, although I did like Suggs' explanation.
What was his explanation?
Didn't he say?
I saw.
He said something about his hair, or how to pick up a Hollywood model.
It was just jawing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They were just jaw jacking. Yeah.
I just
and Suggs. I mean, Suggs is a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those guys that you'd hate if you. You know.
So's Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom,
on the field, he's a lunatic.
Tom's a hothead.
He's a hothead.
Tom's
not remove him from any blame in any of these.
Tom's Paul Perilla with a lot of talent. Because he's a hothead, just like me.
He didn't say more.
A lot of talent.
Here's a showdown game of odds makers for your roundtable, or is it hosts? Maybe both, I don't know.
It's arrow-shaped, actually.
Odds that this time next week we will have gotten a second special teams coach fired. I say 60%.
I say zero, because if he hasn't gotten fired yet, they ain't going to fire him. He must have photos.
Odds Merriweather gets back in the game if not for Page's injury, 5%.
A zero.
Yeah.
Paul says no.
I don't think he was going back. I'm with Andy on this one. I don't think he was going back in until Page got hurt.
Odds the defense is turning the corner and not a one-game wonder, aided with the bye week, 70%.
77.7.
I'm going to go lower than that.
Odds that after this weekend, 100% of the fans don't give a crap about the fourth rounder we gave up for Branch. 100%. I don't think they do now.
Well, right. Last week they were all up in arms about it. Couldn't believe they gave up a fourth round pick for Branch.
Who said that?
Mike Reese said it on All Access, but we had several emailers say it.
Really? Was I out that day?
No, you only listen to
mentally
what you want
or
to
physically.
To.
I just read them. I don't listen.
You don't.
One last thing. Did no one else see Holmes pull the cornerback and cause the face mask penalty that gave them the game? What a way to lose the perfect day with the Pats back in first place in the East. I hate the Jets.
That was pass interference on Hill all the way before the face mask.
Aren't we in second place?
Yeah.
All right. Didn't he say we're back in first? We're in second.
We're in second, technically, yeah.
And technically is the only place the standings matter.
Technically, I mean the team that's in first place has a better record than
they're
us.
They're 5-1, we're 4-1. In the loss column, we're a dead heat.
That is correct.
But
they have the tiebreaker because they kicked your ass.
Let's see. Carl says Jets won on a late fourth quarter pass interference call. Trent Dilfer said his coaches used to coach the play with the underthrown ball and the receiver acting out the part. Why should a pre-planned trick merit a 40-yard penalty and alter the outcome of a game? We all know because of their large fan base, both the league and the media love big audience teams to win, but wouldn't a college-like rule be more fair? This one may affect the outcome of the whole season. So they think it's a pre-planned thing?
Well, first of all, it was not a pre-planned thing because it was a scramble play by Sanchez. He got out of the pocket, he bought himself time, so it wasn't a back shoulder fade, which would be a pre-planned thing. But the second part of that is, if Hill doesn't rip him down, Fred, and you saw this, it's a touchdown.
Right.
Santonio Holmes got both hands on the football, and he was going to catch the ball if he wasn't being dragged down while trying to catch it. Hill was hitting him even before that. I don't think it would have drawn a flag until he grabs him by the face mask and pulls him down.
Right.
But listen, if you make it a 15-yard penalty, you still can lose. I mean, now they're in field goal range, and at the very least, they're going to tie the game and go into overtime. Right?
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know if it's Julie or Bill because it says Julie and Bill, but why does Big Tom have to act like such a baby when he gets hit? Did you see him banging his fist in the ground like some kind of little kid that lost his toy after he got pummeled by Suggs? What do his teammates think of his antics? I would have to say, if I was on that team, I would be embarrassed. What do you attribute to these immature actions? I thought that
he's Paul Perillo with talent.
Yeah, I told you, he's a hothead.
Yeah, that was a bang bang play. I don't think it was a late hit whatsoever.
But he does that a lot.
But you take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah,
like you do with Philip Rivers in San Diego. You know, we've kind of mocked him for his issues.
I don't want to put Tom in Philip Rivers' category.
But you take the good and the bad. Part of why these guys are great is that competitive drive, and they think they're getting screwed on every play or whatever.
Yeah,
you got to take some of the negative that comes with that.
I don't like it, but it's not a big deal.
That falls under, I don't like this phrase, but show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. This kind of is under that umbrella that he doesn't want to lose even a single snap, a single hit, a single play.
I don't like it, but it's not that big a deal to me. It's really not.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Really?
It was a lively show. Thank you for Brian Morey for stopping in. Kevin, producing.
That's why.
What?
I wasn't expecting the show to be over
soon. He went
on
forever giving us stats from 2001 from that stupid book he wrote that no one bought.
Suddenly, we didn't have a good defense that year.
All right, that's going to be it.
I remember
see you tomorrow, Wednesday, and stay tuned for John Rook with the playbook.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in Progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.